If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What up, folks? This is Cooper the Listener for the Music 103, and we're jamming to this crazy listening pleasures music. Boy, is it chilly out tonight. This is a time of year to gather with a guy or girl and get loose and hang.
It is impossible to overstate just how bad that sucks.
So you're saying the way you... the little place we keep in our brains that we have for the music is could actually affect our visual perceptions.
I just got lost, I think.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Seriously, how lame was that?
And now,
how many Democrats would take to screw in a light bulb?
We give up.
Two. One to screw in the light bulb. The one to put forth the fallacy that a tax and spend governmental philosophy in the presence of a bifurcated economy that is largely technology-based will expand the social program web without detrimentally affecting domestic and international defense systems.
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
Hard to argue with that.
I wish he'd tell more jokes. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Monday, the 7th of January. How was everybody? How was the weekend?
Movie-rific.
Oh, you went to a bunch of movies?
Yeah. Well, I actually only went to one. I saw Charlie Wilson's War,
which
is great.
Oh, how great was that? Yes.
But since I have nothing on my TiVo,
I
started scanning the airwaves to see what was on. I caught most of Stick It,
which
is quite enjoyable.
Yes.
Gymnastics, don't you know? Not gymnastics.
It's not gymnastics.
Right.
I love movie slogans. They're so bad.
So good.
Okay, go ahead. So you watched Stick It.
Let's see. What else did I see? I saw Deja Vu.
How was that? That's the Denzel Washington?
Yeah.
How was that?
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, not bad.
It was, you know,
did you feel
you
like you'd seen it before?
Over and over, yes. Oh, and I caught the remaking of Miss America. Oh,
what is that?
My God.
Is that awesome?
This is a reality show
where
they take the 52 Miss America potentials, the ones that are competing this year, and put them in a big old house. They got 7 bathrooms.
They put them in a house.
And they have judges, and they're basically trying to remake them so they don't look like plastic Barbie dolls anymore. Like, take down the hair, not so much makeup. Like, just be normal people. And it's so funny because they take them outside for competitions, and there are girls teasing their hair and just spraying half a can of Aquanet on them and putting on false eyelashes.
That's all they've ever known, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They can't stop. They cannot stop. And then they have this dinner where they sit them down and ask them to give their real opinions about controversial subjects like gun control. And sex before marriage.
Which is also the opposite of what they do in those.
Yes. And they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop the talk. There's a table full of women. They're all like, oh, premarital sex. You know, you're just degrading yourself. So finally one girl says, okay, so if I have you straight, every girl at this table is a virgin. Is that right? There's
nice.
Like this deadly silence because they're like 24 years old.
Right,
come on.
Sure, sure.
It was.
What
it
channel
was
is that on?
So bad and good. Maybe TLC. I'm not sure I TV'd
yeah,
it.
I don't get that one.
I think that's it. I think it is
that's
TLC.
It,
yeah. It was, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to watch it again. I might. Because it's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they
I
need to
bad,
do something. Because those pageant girls are not pretty, the way they are presented on stage.
No,
they're just
really,
not.
You're right. They need to do something.
You're running into people on the streets all the time that are hotter than them.
I might watch
Absolutely.
Next week because I think some of them cry.
Oh, good.
So then
that's,
I'm definitely
that's what you look
in.
Forward to.
Yeah.
That's a necessity.
Yes.
I went to Vegas and watched football all weekend. It's a perfect weekend.
No kidding. So the electronic show, is that this last
No, it
weekend?
Starts today, I think,
oh, okay.
The electronic show. I just went to play poker and to watch football.
How was your poker?
Well, you know, technically, I broke even.
What does that mean, technically, you broke
even? It means I broke even. I sat down within the first, with the very second hand that I got a flush, which is great, ace high. So I went all in, and I can't lose. I'm one of those people that can't lose more than, you know, $200-$300. Then I'm bummed, and I don't want to gamble
it's
anymore. Yeah, and I'm out. I usually just go do something else, go to the sports book or hang out. So I started with $200. I went all in on the very second hand that I had, and it, of course, got beat by some dude that had a better hand than I did. And so I was sitting there 5 minutes into it, out. out of money.
Did
and
you
they,
leave?
And they said, do you want to rebuy? And I said, not right now. And I just sat there for a while, and then I finally got out another 100. That was it. I was like, this is all I'm going. And it took me all weekend to earn it back. I got back to zero. So it wasn't a super successful trip. But being in Vegas and watching the games, and it's a good time.
Yeah, definitely.
Four football games over the weekend. Mm. Being Seahawks.
How was
that? Was one that? Of them.
They destroyed.
Really?
They did well.
Wow.
They did really well.
Well, if by destroyed you mean they were up 13-0 at the start of the fourth quarter and quickly lost the lead in about 3 minutes and then had to come back to win, yeah, that's destroying, I guess.
But, am I mistaken on that one? I thought they won by about 12.
They won by 21 points.
Oh, 21. Okay. Well.
But they scored all of those, you know, all those in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Okay.
I mean, it was one of those that was very, very tight the whole game. Just like the next one after that, by the way, the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game was unbelievably close and had a phenomenal comeback from both teams until Jacksonville finally won.
That's my favorite kind. Is the home team, Pittsburgh in this case, was down by, I think, 18 in the fourth quarter.
Oh, that's right. 18.
Came all the way back to lead by one and then lost on a field goal. They're the home team and they came
with
all the way
with 30 seconds
back.
Left, right,
and
exactly.
And then they lost on a field goal to the away team.
That's a heartbreaker.
Yeah, that just hurts.
I watched both of those. I watched a lot of the San Diego-Tennessee game that the Chargers won. I did not see any of the game that the Giants won over Tampa Bay. But I think, and we should check the tape, I believe our buddy Andrew Siciliano from the Red Zone, I think he picked all four games for us on Friday.
Did he really?
I think he did. We got to check that tape, but that's pretty impressive.
Wow, no kidding. I wrote it down. I'll find that.
Okay.
That is pretty impressive. Well, he knows what he's talking about.
He certainly does.
Did you see I think it was after last night's game, John Madden, Al Michaels, did you see that?
I can't remember.
It was Saturday or Sunday. After the game, they came back to them. I guess Bob Costas is in the studio and whatever. They toss it back to these guys to recap the game. And it's so good to see this happen to somebody else besides us, because this happens to us all the time. But John Madden and Al Michaels were standing there talking and gesturing and looking at each other, and they were clearly hearing each other. No sound coming out of the TV at all.
That's fantastic.
And it went on for about 45 seconds, which, of course, with no sound, seems like about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So then they toss it to Bob Costas, who could clearly hear them, and he tossed it back to them again, and they talked for another minute or so. Without a single word being heard.
No one ever told anyone?
I don't know if they were scrambling. I don't know if they didn't know. I was just sitting there going, yes, this is my life right here that's happening to Al Michaels and John Madden.
These are professionals. That's
funny. That's a shame to not be able to hear what Al Michaels has to say.
It was, and John Madden is what you mean, I'm sure.
What I'm saying is, thank
really
God somebody finally
it.
Pulled the plug on Madden. That needed to happen 20 years ago.
But it looked like they were having the most interesting conversation ever, and yet couldn't tell.
Don't know what it is.
I'm sure it wasn't, though, Kevin.
No, I'm sure.
Well, it's going to get exciting next week, because next week you got your Patriots and you got your Colts and you got your Cowboys and you got your Packers playing. You know, they all had the bye week this week. So it's going to be great football next week. And, of course, the college football championship is tonight, too. So Ohio State versus LSU is tonight.
I haven't been paying attention to that at all.
Yeah.
Does anyone care? I mean, besides Ohio State and LSU.
I think people care, sure.
Okay.
All right.
Feels a little weird to not have USC in the game, but I guess we'll watch.
That's you're spoiled when you're
I'm
a little disappointed that the local team's not in the championship game. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
We are having breakfast with Foo Fighters, and that is a week from today.
Yes.
So we're going to start giving away tickets this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. As a matter of fact, your first chance to win is coming up in a half hour, just after 6 o'clock. So if you're an early morning listener, we're going to give you a shot. Also on today's show, we are going to do the grand prize drawing. For K-Rock's World Tour 2008, destination number one, this is what you were qualifying for all last week. It's Linkin Park in Paris.
Oh, mon Dieu.
So that's going to be good.
Yeah.
We are going to have Mark Wahlberg in, who is the host of Moment of Truth, which is a new show on Fox.
I think so.
It sounds Fox-like.
Where they have a polygraph tester, and they have family members and friends ask questions, and they are embarrassing questions to have to admit the truth to.
I would never do that.
But if you don't tell the truth, it shows up on the polygraph, and you get fewer points. So the team that wins is the team that's the most honest.
Yeah.
And the preview that we saw was a fat chick, I want to say,
I think.
Asking if this person is repulsed by fat people.
Awful.
And that, I mean, can you imagine?
So awful.
Yes. But anyway, we're having them in. We're going to talk about the show, which does look good. And we're also going to, while they're here, have them hook Dave the King of Mexico up to the lie detector
test. Yes, finally.
Is he already trying to back out of that? Has he even showed up yet today?
I don't know. I imagine from everything that I've heard him say so far, the answer is going to be yes, he will try and back out of it in every way.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, no, must be done. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Jesse from Team Brittany today. Yes.
Okay.
Dying to talk to her on Friday after that whole thing went down. As you know, she's one of the supporters of Britney Spears, and she thinks that everything that goes wrong pretty much is made up by the media because, you know, they hate her. I mean,
right.
which of us has not, done all the things that Britney has done? Oh, us parents. None of us parents are, you know, without blame. She's crazy beyond words.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to her this morning. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin this morning. And we got a whole bunch more, plus the showbiz beat, and that's coming up next.
So should people call now for Breakfast with Foo Fighters tickets?
No.
Would that be the time? Not yet?
No.
Okay.
Because Ralph has a giveaway.
Oh.
So we'll do it at the
listen
end.
Up.
So we'll do it at the
listen
end
up
of Ralph's
show. Okay. Listen up when I talk. I mentioned it earlier. I said I'm giving away tickets, for Christ's sake.
We don't listen to
it.
But you lie.
Pay attention.
But you don't tell the truth.
Be a team player. Don't be all about you and what
you make stuff up. But you make stuff up.
Well, I don't this time. This
all right,
time
so do not call for the
do
Foos.
Not
you'll
call.
Have a,
not
you'll have
now,
a chance
not
to do
ever.
That in just a few minutes.
That's
see, all
right.
The phones are ringing now. What are we supposed to do about that?
See, because you're an ass. Because
you
started.
Well, I said don't call.
Well, why don't you ask it off air? Why don't you say, can I do it now? Instead of saying, hey, I got Foo Fighter tickets. Of course people are going to call right away. The minute
because you weren't
they don't
in
hear
the
yes
room.
Or no. They just hear Foo Fighters. And now my giveaway is completely anally raped.
No, it's fine. Everyone's happy.
I wish.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
I
see you
wish.
Monday. So long. All right. So don't call now for any reason. That's what we're saying. We're going to clear these lines and start over. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, Monday morning, 5:47. Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I was so excited about this giveaway. So excited.
It still happened.
The first minute of the first day
still work,
of the
dude.
Week for the first show, Bean has just kicked me right in the nads.
It's all good.
Made me miserable.
It's all good.
Dave it's not good.
Dave
I don't think I
through.
Kicked you in the nads.
You did.
And you weren't in the room for me to ask you until the last 1 second of the song. I didn't have the opportunity to do it off air.
I've got tickets to go see a really cool movie.
What's
the movie,
movie,
Ralph? Cloverfield.
Oh!
How do you like me now, bitches?
Yee.
Pretty sweet. One of the most anticipated films for like a year, people have been talking about this movie. Remember when the trailer first came out, the teaser trailer? I guess it was in front of maybe Transformers? I forget what it was in front of. But
yeah, it could be.
It was just the talk of the town and certainly on the internet. Everyone talking about the new J.J. Abrams film about a creature that pretty much destroys the island of Manhattan. Have you seen the extended trailer? What's going on now with this?
I have, but am I the only one that still doesn't know what it is?
Nobody knows. That's
really?
The cool
okay.
part.
Good. I thought
no
it was just
one
me.
Knows what this creature looks like. This thing has been just veiled, locked down in total secrecy. No one knows what the creature is, what the story is. All we know is some badass BS go down.
How do you, does it go down?
It go down.
How do you keep something like that on this scale?
I have no idea.
A secret.
But mad props to J.J. Abrams for doing it because he really pulled it off.
So is it going to be some sort of lame black smoke, do you think?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. it finally got off the island. Not the members of Lost, but the smoke is attacking.
Yeah, just running smoke all over New York City. Anyway, I'll be giving away tickets all morning long to a special K-Rock screening of Cloverfield. You'll get to see it on Thursday, January the 17th. That's a day before it opens. Opens on the 18th. For a while, they were calling it 1-18-08 was the name of the movie because they weren't sure if they were going to go with Cloverfield or not, but that's the official name. If you'd like to go, as I mentioned, it comes to you from producer J.J. Abrams, who's our pal. And I guess we first got to know him with Alias.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's when he started coming in here. We started chatting with him. He's a really a good dude. And of
he
course,
loved that show.
Alias starred the beautiful and talented Jennifer Garner, who I love deeply. But that wasn't the first time the two of them worked together. If you can name the TV series that J.J. Abrams and Jennifer Garner worked on prior to Alias, then you can win a pair of tickets. I'll give away three pair right now. 1-800-520-1067. If you know the correct answer, you're going to win yourself a pair of tickets to the advanced screening of Cloverfield. You get to see it for anybody else. And then you know what you do? Friday, you go to the crowded theaters where everybody's waiting in line, and you just scream out what the monster looks like.
It's a giant hamster!
You just ruin it for everyone. It'd be so awesome to do that. So call now. There's your if you know the answer to that trivia question. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend for the third week in a row. National Treasure, Book of Secrets.
Yeah.
Starring Birthday Boy, Nicolas Cage. Today's his birthday as well, so
how
happy birthday,
that?
Nick.
made an additional $20.2 million at the box office this weekend. It's a monster. It's
how
a
many,
monster.
How many weeks in a row?
3 weeks in a row.
Do we know what monster it is?
Oh, stop. Right. I Am Legend was number two at the box office with $16.4 million. And then right behind it, a little sleeper hit called Juno. Number three at the box office this weekend, $16.2 million. Then Alvin and His Fellow Chipmunks came in at number four. Did you see Alvin
this
and Chipmunks?
No. No.
You got kids?
Yeah, I know, and I thought I was going to have to. But
look, the dork raising his hand behind you.
If I don't have to, I won't.
Well, you did?
Yeah.
Psycho Mike? Oh, that's right. He took kids, he said.
Oh, took kids.
And nieces and nephews.
Yeah. Who's letting him near kids, by the way? That's what I want to know. One Missed Call was number five in its debut. Ooh. One Missed Movie. What it should have been called, because no one went. Charlie Wilson's War, people joined Lisa May, checking that out this weekend, was number six. P.S. I Love You was number seven. The Water Whore.
That seems inappropriate.
I got a typo here. Legend of the Deep. Just assumed it was Water Whore with a name like that. Was number eight. Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street was number nine. And Atonement, number 10 at the box office this weekend.
We have a winner if you want, Ralph.
We do?
Yep.
That was quick.
Your trivia question? Terrell in Long Beach. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Very good. Thank you.
This isn't Terrell Owens, is it?
No, and I know you hate him, Ralph.
All right. Just to make sure, because I wouldn't give you any goddamn tickets if you were Terrell Owens. What was the TV series that J.J. Abrams and Jennifer Garner worked on prior to Alias?
Felicity.
That's right. Jennifer starred on Felicity. When you think about J.J.
Abrams.
She was on
Abrams, Felicity?
Yeah. She was Carrie Russell's girlfriend on that show.
Oh, I didn't
realize
that.
But not in a good way.
Yeah, not in a lesbian way.
Unfortunately.
It's funny, when you think J.J. Abrams now, you think science fiction and giant spectacle and Star Trek and Lost, those stuff. You don't think of a little college teen drama, but that's how he got his start on television. Congratulations. Hold on, we'll give you all the details. You're going to the advanced screening of Cloverfield. Which I don't even know what
Lily
that
in Glendale and Bonnie in Roland Heights are your other two winners for this hour, Ralph.
We'll be talking to our pal Harvey Levin of TMZ.com in just a little while, but this story just got weirder and weirder over the weekend, didn't it?
Yes.
First of all, they said she was going to be on hold for 72 hours because she's a nut job, and then suddenly they let her out, and then even weirder, Dr. Phil's by her side.
Dr. Phil? How did this come about?
Phil showed up, just went to the hospital.
For what?
Apparently he thought he could help or get more publicity.
Hey, are there cameras here? Okay. All right. Is Brittany still here? Okay. All right.
Yeah. He said, my meeting with Brittany and some of her family members this morning in her room at Cedars leaves me convinced more than ever that she is in dire need of both medical and psychological intervention.
Okay, so he went and met with her.
We visited for about an hour before I walked her to her car. I am very concerned for her.
Okay, but wait a minute. Why did he help her leave if she clearly needed help?
Yeah, why wasn't he blocking her from the exits rather than walking her to her car?
That's the part that I didn't understand. She needs help psychologically in every other way, but I'm going to walk her out of the hospital now.
And here's the kind of therapist I like, the kind that talks to the media right after they talk to you for an hour.
And here's the thing. I'm sure Harvey's got a ton on this because according to TMZ.com, it didn't go down exactly the way Dr. Phil says.
Oh.
He came unannounced and uninvited. Brittany didn't appreciate it. She started screaming, went off, threw him out of the room after about 15 minutes. He didn't walk her to her car. All kinds of professionals, real psychologists, are flipped out about this guy because they say, if you're not the person who's the caretaker of this patient,
right,
you don't just show up and start walking into their hospital rooms.
Right.
So there's
and he brought her a speedball, too, I heard.
Oh, how dare you. So there's a lot to talk about with Harvey on that story, but I just was blown away by that little development. Speaking of which, the News of the World, which is a British tabloid, said that before she was hospitalized, Brittany took over 100 prescription pills in 36 hours before her custody meltdown.
Good time.
And washed them all down with a purple monster.
I don't know what that is.
Not the one in my pants. A mind-blowing homemade cocktail of vodka, NyQuil, and Red Bull.
Oh, yes.
Dude. Here's what they claim she took 36 hours prior to her meltdown, okay?
Who is this now?
This is Britney Spears.
No, but I mean, what magazine?
This is News of the World.
Okay.
They're right about 5% of the time.
This is a British tabloid. Yeah, like Bean said, it's sort of, it's not quite as reliable as the Weekly World News, but it's in the same ballpark. Two bottles of NyQuil they took down. Okay. It's according to sources close to Britney, according to News of the World. 20 diet pills, including her favorite brand, Clenbuterol.
Oh, that's bad news.
Is that good stuff?
What is that?
Well, it's completely illegal. It was originally an asthma medication, and it is not good. It's very bad. It has very, very serious deleterious effects on your heart. It's bad news.
It is not good. It is very bad, says Psycho Mike.
Okay.
He's a medical professional.
He is.
We got him in here.
He's a doctor. 18 herbal uppers that she got over the internet, 18 Puritan antihistamine tablets, 12 Vicodins, 10 sleeping pills, 8 anti-acid reflux tablets.
What the hell?
Why would you take uppers and downers at the same time?
Confused, conflicted.
Because it's cool.
Sure want to be up. Sure would like to be down.
Sure want to be up. One full bottle of Pepto-Bismol. 10 Zantac.
Come on.
6 Ritalin. And they found 2 empty bottles of OxyContin found at her home as well. So.
Kind of a bizarre mixture. Is that's the anything I could get my hands on, I'll take.
That's
every drug they could think of that they could write down.
That's so ridiculous.
Or it's not ridiculous, and she's self-medicating up the yin-yang.
Yeah.
Wow.
It almost sounds like with that list that they're suggesting it's a suicide attempt or something, because that sounds like somebody who's just trying to overdose.
No, they're saying this happened in the course of 36 hours before the custody problem. This wasn't all in one gulp.
Okay.
This was her just medicating up and down and just going crazy, they claim, before she barricaded herself inside her bedroom with her one-year-old. So that may have something to do with it.
See, because you said up the yin-yang, and that was the yin-yang twins.
Ah!
That's what that was.
How soon after I said yin-yang did that come, though, I'm wondering? Because I didn't
put the two
together.
I saw Mike reach for it. That's right. What I knew he was going to do. But then you moved on, so I thought, well, it's too late.
So you figured he would make the logical choice of just let it slide.
Correct.
Because it doesn't apply any longer.
He instead queued it up, potted it up, and hit the button himself.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
At least he timed it well.
Good to know we no longer control the show.
That's correct.
Yes. And Amy Fisher, remember the Long Island Lolita? The young lady who shot her lover's wife in the face?
Sure.
Yes.
She's a misunderstanding, Ralph.
She's got a new career.
Oh, good.
Porn star.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Amy is currently promoting her new X-rated movie that she made with her ex-husband, Lou Bellera.
She's not hot, is she?
She's hot-ish.
She's okay.
Yeah.
Is she hot for the group of women who would shoot another woman in the head?
In that subset?
Yeah.
She's the queen of them.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Apparently, she's set to be interviewed on Inside Edition, Larry King Live, and Good Morning America, talking about her new film for Red Light District, the same people who brought us all those good celebrity sex tapes. So,
sure.
Should be good times. I'll watch. You know, she's had some plastic surgery. She kind of cleaned herself up.
Oh, has
pretty
she?
Good, yeah. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? As I mentioned, Nicolas Cage celebrates his 44th birthday today. It's a pretty good birthday present. You find out you still got the number one movie in America?
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Still can't get my head around the fact that he's an Oscar winner, by the way.
I know, that's bogus.
He's more of an Oscar protector, really.
Right, there you go.
Erin Gray, remember her? The actress who was on Silver Spoons, played Kate Stratton on that show.
Yeah.
Also played Colonel Wilma Deering on Buck Rogers. She was Buck's girlfriend.
Didn't see that one.
Gee, Buck. Beedy, beedy, beedy.
That's remember how
that
she talked?
No, that's how a robot on Buck Rogers talked.
I didn't watch Buck Rogers.
Oh, what's wrong with you? Dustin Diamond from Screech.
Yes.
Not from Screech, from Saved by the Bell. Of course, he played Screech on that show. He is 31 years old today. You guys had him in the studio, didn't you?
We did, as a matter of fact,
Was it a long interview?
Well, he came with a friend, and first we threw the friend out.
Right.
And then we threw him out.
Hmm.
Hasn't happened very often, but he just was a douchebag of the royal order.
I wasn't here when that happened. Can you give me a little taste of that?
I get the feeling you guys don't really like the music.
Well, that's correct. That's accurate. But it didn't just start with the music.
No, it started with you and Sam.
That's right. Listen, Screech, Dustin, very nice to meet you. We wish you the best with the band and the show. Don't ever come back. But thank you for your time. And good luck.
Well, it was great being here, and thank you. I'll be packing up my things now.
Well, if you must go, don't let us stand in the way.
Yeah.
That was the first break
good
that we
times.
Had him in.
Yeah, good times.
Oh, man.
He's a tool.
He is.
Did you watch one that Celebrity Fit Club?
Yes.
What an ass.
Yeah, but that's what made the show.
I was hoping that black drill sergeant dude was going to
just wreck him.
Just drill him right into the ground. And David Yost, of course, we celebrate his birthday today.
David Yost.
He is. Oh, he was the original Blue Power Ranger on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He's 39 years old today.
Really?
Got to give a shout out to Blue.
No?
Go Blue.
Mm-mm.
Go Blue. Go Blue. It's your birthday.
Don't
Go Blue.
Have to give a shout out at all.
He's the Blue Power Ranger.
Yes.
Come on.
No.
Go, go, Power Rangers.
I know the theme. I know how that went.
Nice. I might have to pull some Power Ranger audio for you a little bit later. That's what I'm thinking. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I like that song a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to really get me out of bed, that one. Your alarm goes on when that song's on. You just lay there.
All right. Rodney on the Rock, 106.7.
Hey, Rodney.
With Simon and Garfunkel.
No. Right. That was the Shins, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after six. We do have tickets for our breakfast with Foo Fighters, along with tickets to see the Foos at the Forum March 6th.
Dude, now March 5th is the show that people know about that's already sold out. March 6th is the new show that's going on sale this weekend, but you're going to win those tickets without having to buy them, and you're going to get to come to our tiny, intimate club to see Foo Fighters up close and get a chance to interview them. That's the whole point behind these breakfast shows we do.
So we have Rodney here. Rodney's been around since the beginning of time.
All right.
And
Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7.
Rodney, it's our show. We're just
Thanks
trying to
for calling.
Give away some tickets to our breakfast
You're here. A winner.
No one's on the phone yet.
All right, we have a winner.
Okay, so since we're going to have you help us do the interview at our breakfast with, as
I'm
we
going to help you.
Not
All right.
you, Rodney, the listener.
Who are you talking to?
The
then?
Listeners.
They're not here.
You don't understand how this works, still?
No.
Okay. If you have a question about Foo Fighters and you can stump Rodney, then you will get tickets to our breakfast with Foo Fighters. I think we're going to have to do a drawing, though. I don't think we have enough for one pair for everybody because it's a tiny little place.
Okay.
Okay.
A week from today. But let's get started with Stump Rodney.
Can you stump Rodney? Can you stump Rodney?
Yeah.
Let's all stump Rodney now.
Yeah, wig, wham, bam.
That's right.
Wig, all wham, right, bam. Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7.
Rodney, stop
still,
it.
Still Kevin and Bean. All right, listen, we're going to go to the phones. 1-800-520-1067.
Here's the shift.
Here's the key, though. You have to be able to make it next Monday morning. That's when we're doing Breakfast with the Foo Fighters. And you have to know the answer to your own question, okay? Those are both very, very important. So
1-800 Monday.
We don't
You're
need
not
you,
invited.
Rod. We've invited you to 7,000 things in the morning. You turn us down every time.
I don't get up early.
I know.
Let's start with line six. This is Adrian. He's in some imaginary place called Mentone? Mentani? Mentani?
Mentos.
What's that?
Mentos.
What's that called?
I don't think it's...
What's that called, Adrian?
The candy.
Tone.
What is it?
Mentone.
Where's Mentone?
It's right after Resin off of Highway 38.
Okay.
Right in the IE.
Okay.
All right. We already know you're not reliable because you've made up the name of your town. But go ahead. What's your question to try to stump Rodney?
What movie did Dave Grohl play Satan in?
What movie did he play Satan in?
See, there you go. That's a pretty easy one, Rodney. You know that one.
Satan.
Wall of Voodoo?
That wasn't a movie.
Well, should have been.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
I'd go see it.
All right. Adrian?
It was the Destiny.
Tenacious D, right, exactly.
Tenacious D, okay. I can't understand a word he's saying.
Again, go ahead and know the answer to your own question is what we're saying. All right, we're going to put Adrian on hold. Someone wins tickets for the Breakfast with Foo Fighters at the end of Stump Rodney.
Wall of Voodoo would be better.
Let's go to Allen's. Alexis?
Yeah?
Gotta Alexis? Make that font bigger. It's the tiniest font.
Oh my
I've
God.
Ever seen.
Why? This is
your font. I can't see what the name is.
Allen's? Are you there?
It makes sense, but neither did the last one. All right, Allen's, what's your question?
It's Alexis.
Oh, Alexis, what's your question?
Alexis, yeah. Alexis. Who is the drummer for Foo Fighters?
Tony Basil.
Come on.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine.
Allen's, tell him who it is.
Taylor Hawkins.
Taylor Hawkins. All
no
right.
Way.
Sure. Yes, way.
No one named Taylor
Hold
Hawkins.
Hold on. You're in the drawing. All right. Let's go to
Taylor
Christy.
Taylor B. Hawkins?
No. Christy in Fountain Valley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Stump Rodney.
Hey Rodney. What instrument did Dave Grohl play in a band before the Foo Fighters?
The Tom Tom Club.
It's not a band.
It's not an
it's
instrument.
An instrument.
More importantly.
It is a band.
It is a band. It's
know,
not an instrument.
I know more than you now.
See, here's the problem, though. People have caught on that Rodney might not know all these answers, so they ask questions like this one, which are too easy. I mean, you're not going to be able to help us at the breakfast. You know other stuff about Foo Fighters, right, Christy?
Yes, I do.
All right. Why don't you tell Rodney what instrument he played?
He played the drums,
Drums.
Rodney.
Tom Tom's a drum.
It's
yes,
close.
Tom Tom
Very
Club,
close.
A
Why
band.
Don't you suck it.
Right.
Whoa.
Wow.
God,
right.
Nice.
Christy is in the drawing. Let's go to Diana in Alhambra. She is on line four. Diana, good morning. Stump Rodney. Good luck.
Hi, Rodney. Now that Dave Grohl's in LA, what city does he live in?
The Knack.
That's not a city. What is wrong with you? What city does he live in? What city, Rodney? City. Get another guess, Rodney.
Berlin.
Rodney's having a good time today.
Berlin. Diana, what's the answer?
Calabasas.
Close is right, yeah. All right. Thank you for the call.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. She's in Berlin. She said close. All right. Let's go to Alan in Cyprus. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi, Alan.
Stump Rodney.
Okay. What's Taylor Hawkins' side band name?
Brian Ferry.
Taylor Hawkins' side band.
Brian Ferry.
That's a person.
Culture Club.
Is it Culture Club?
That was pretty close.
Yeah?
It's called the Coattail Riders.
The Coattail Riders. All right.
Give me my next guess.
Hold on.
Yeah, right after Culture Club, right, Rodney? You had that one on the tip of your tongue.
All right, let's go to Andrew in Burbank. Good morning, Andrew. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Stump Rodney.
Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7.
Rodney, stop that.
What, stop it.
What's your question, Andrew?
Okay, what song did the Foo Fighters open with at the 2005 K-Rock Weenie Roast?
I was there.
Oh, he's thinking about it.
Hardly a trivia question, but...
I was there. Let me think. The Plimsolls.
Again, that's a band name.
Oh.
They don't have a song by that name.
99 Luftballons.
Yes, that's correct. Is that correct, Andrew?
That is way off.
Way off, sorry. Okay, what's real?
It is, This Is a Call.
This Is a Call. All right.
That's what's real. Okay.
All right.
Maybe one more.
I can't do two, though, Bean, can I? I mean, really.
No,
I can't do line
can't.
Two.
Let's do Matt in Northridge. He's on line one. Why don't we close with Matt on Stump Rodney, and then we'll do the grand prize drawing, find out who gets to join us Monday morning for breakfast with Foo Fighters. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Question is, Dave Grohl wrote a soundtrack in 1997. Do you know the name of the movie it was for?
Der Kommissar.
Very close.
Is it Der Kommissar?
No, it's actually called Touch.
Touch.
Touch. That's right.
Originally
that's
it was
what
called
it is.
Touch the Commissar.
No, it was not called Touch the Commissar.
Touch his Wiener Schnitzel.
All right, Lisa, you have the... you know what? Let's give away two pair here, shall we?
All right.
Let's give away two pair.
Grab Mr. Generous.
One. Yeah.
Ooh, big spender.
All right, we have Alexis in Burbank.
Allen's. Okay.
And Alan in Cyprus.
Alexis, congratulations. Hello? Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. And who else?
Alan in Cyprus.
Alan in Cyprus. Congratulations. Thanks for playing Stump Rodney.
Let's all Stump Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
Dr. Phil at the hospital room of Britney Spears. Now, before we all jump to conclusions, maybe he was there to put a pillow over her face and end our misery. Did you ever think about that?
Well, no.
Okay.
No.
Then let's find out what the real story is from our pal Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television, 6:30, Channel 11, each weeknight. Good morning, Harvey.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Harvey.
So Dr. Phil did not go there to kill her, as we were hoping?
Well, I got to tell you something. I'm not gonna laugh at this one because it's really, really, really serious.
Okay.
I mean, she could kill herself. I mean, that's the headline.
Okay, if that's the case, then... And here's the weird thing, Harvey, is we talked about this story on Friday, and we thought, should we talk to Harvey on Monday? It's not possible this story could get any more weird. Maybe there won't be much to talk about. Just the opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, this story just gets more weird and more weird every second.
But there's been a theme. I mean, we've been talking for how many months where we've been saying, and everybody's been saying that, oh, you guys are wrong, you can't say that. Everybody's been saying she's on drugs or alcohol. And I've been telling you guys, it's not drugs and alcohol. She's got a mental problem. It's a bipolar issue.
You've mm-hmm. said that many times, yes.
Many, many times. Well, I think you're starting to see that's true, and it is true, and I know it's true, and she has a severe mental problem with this, and I mean, I don't mean that in a really pejorative way, but it's terrible, and she's in major danger, so, you know, she needs to go to a hospital.
Okay.
And there may be, does she drink alcohol? She drinks some. Has she done drugs? I mean, yeah, but... That's not the underlying issue here.
That's not the main problem.
Why didn't they keep her for 72 hours?
Well, that's the question, is when they checked her in on Thursday night, Friday morning, it was under a 5150. And my understanding is that's a mandatory 72-hour hold. She got out like 36 hours later. How did that happen?
It's not exactly a mandatory. It means that they can hold her for 72 hours. But if the hospital determines within that 72 hours that she is no longer a danger to herself, for others, then legally they have to let her go if she wants to because she no longer qualifies under 5150. But here's the deal. We know that on Thursday night, she was screaming, going crazy in the room. On Friday morning, ripping out her IV, going insane, screaming.
Oh my God.
So with all of that backdrop, how is it that the hospital made a determination, oh, she's good to go?
All right. Do you think, Harvey, that that is because she can afford good lawyers who threatened to sue, so they had to let her out?
No. And I know that's not,
it's not
the case.
Well, then how did
she didn't have any lawyers anymore.
That's true. How did they?
Well, I'm sure Cedars-Sinai didn't particularly like all the paparazzi around the hospital. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's very disruptive to have Britney Spears in your facility.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that that was their motivation, but it is kind of curious. And, I mean, the whole Dr. Phil thing makes it insane.
All right. Let's get to the Dr. Phil thing then. How did Dr. Phil have anything to do with this story?
Well, here's what we know. Britney Spears had absolutely no idea that Dr. Phil was coming in there. She didn't give consent. She had no knowledge. He literally walked in her room and blindsided her. What's particularly shocking is how on earth did the hospital let him in? I mean, that is supposed to be a confidential wing. I mean, this is the psych ward at Cedars.
Right.
So how did this hospital take it upon itself, without getting her permission, to let this guy in and blindside her?
I guess if you're her physical doctor, they would, right? That's about it, though, right?
But, well, no, you need patient privileges to get into Cedars on that floor, and he didn't have patient privileges.
Now, is he, Harvey, just one clarification. Is he an actual doctor?
I mean, he is a doctor, but he's certainly not a psychiatrist. And this is a psychiatric issue that she faces. Now, here's the problem. I mean, you know, we're told that he was trying to get her. Now, they're denying it now, but we know because we talked with people on Saturday morning. They were hoping she'd be on the show. He wanted to do a television interview.
No way!
That's the point, dude.
He went in there to get her on his show?
Well, no. I'm not going to say why he went in there. I'm telling you the show. You connect the dots. The show wanted her on Saturday morning. And all I'm telling you is they're scheduled to tape a show today. It's an intervention show. They initially had booked Britney's parents, although I'm not sure the parents are going on anymore, but they had booked Britney's parents, and he wanted to do this kind of intervention television show. So he goes into a room. She is like, looks at him and just walks out of the room.
Sure.
And ends up coming back in. We are told, I know he said that it was an hour. We're told she came back in because she was going to leave, and he kind of talked at her for 15 minutes, and that was that. But she was extremely agitated that this all happened, and especially without her consent.
She should have been. Dr. Phil, what a, oh man, that just makes me hate him more.
This is Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We're talking to you on the phone. Hey.
And guys, I got to tell you something. I mean, I'm not trying to just rag on Dr. Phil in this thing. I'm really not.
I am.
But here's the deal. She's in the danger zone. She could die. And for somebody to inject himself, mm-hmm. you know, whether the parents said, oh, go see her or not, it's, you know, there's a medical issue, and you need to contact the doctors and say, what's going on here? And ultimately, it upset her. The hospital ended up not being a safe zone for her, which is exactly where she needs to be, in a hospital. And if he's really going in and talking to her and trying to help her, why the hell does he issue a press release?
Exactly.
I mean, that's just like, it's stunning.
Yeah.
It is.
How do you issue a press release if you go in on the pretext that you want to help somebody as a doctor?
Yeah.
I'm not even a doctor, and I can tell that the help that Britney Spears needs does not come on television. I mean, that's not where she needs to be discussing the problems that have gone on in her life.
She needs serious psychiatric help right now. And I'm telling you, everybody in her life, even people on the other side, they all know it. And they've seen it. And the people I've been talking to all weekend long, you know how crazy this seemed, like you guys said. And I mean, on a level, it does seem just insane what happened. They saw it coming. They all knew that something like this was going down she's been going downhill.
If everyone on both sides knows that, how is it possible that she gets out early instead of, I mean, it looked like they finally were going to be able to force her to do something. And yet still she got out early. It just seems such a...
Well, Kevin, if she's an adult and she is not at that time suicidal and they don't think she's going to hurt anyone else, they really can't hold her.
Well, it's true. true. I mean, Lisa May, it's true that if they decide, and you know, they did have doctors evaluate her, and if they say she's no longer a danger to herself or others, then legally they can't keep holding her. The question is, was she? And what's the standard, and how did they evaluate that?
Yeah.
And you're right. But, I mean, right now, what you're left with is this woman is kind of roaming free right now, and she really, really, really needs help.
What did she do after she got out of the hospital, Harvey?
Well, apparently she's been hanging out with this paparazzi guy that she hooked up with, which is, you know, again, not a great move, but she's also not in a great position to make sound decisions here.
Right.
And, you know, apparently she may have been in Palm Desert with him yesterday, but she, again, I mean, not a great choice, but she's not really capable right now of making good choices.
Let me ask you one more thing. Ralph was telling us a story a few minutes ago from the News of the World, which is a tabloid in Britain that is really shaky. I mean, they'll print pretty much anything, but I wondered if you had any comment on the story that she took tremendous amount of pills and cough syrup and everything else in the 2 or 3 days leading up to her ending up in the hospital. Do you know anything about what she was taking in there?
Guys, here's the deal. Did you see her at the deposition earlier in the day?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
I did not.
Look, she was kind of the crazy Britney she always is. If she was on the stuff that was in that article, could she have driven and walked?
Probably
no,
not.
I'm thinking not.
Probably so, not. I mean, look, there are a million bogus reports out there. And,
right.
You know, and everybody kind of glommed onto this report that there was some kind of a substance, and this is about some kind of a substance that she had taken. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's a psychological issue.
Well, that's one of the reasons we like to come to you, Harvey, because you seem to be right more than anyone else on the planet,
yeah.
And you seem to not promote stuff that you don't know is true, which is also helpful in a situation like this for sure.
And look, I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, we have been, you know, I'll even be crass about ourselves and say we have profited off of Britney Spears. I mean, from the beginning, when we turn the lights on the website, she's always driven traffic in
right.
a huge way. So I'm not going to act like I'm Mother Teresa here. I mean, we put lots of stories of Britney Spears up. She's good for business. That said, you know what? At a point, you got to look and say, oh, my God, this is no longer a celebrity and having fun and everything else. I mean, it's really life-threatening. And then at a point, you got to say, you know, you got to stand up and say, this is really serious, really bad. And, you know, we have been in the middle of the whole Britney Spears circus, you know, for a long time. But I want to draw a line at this point and just say, you know what, let's just kind of stop for a second and say she needs help to save her life.
Sure. All right, Harvey. Well, we'll definitely keep the website refreshed continually for all the very latest news. TMZ.com and, of course, TMZ TV, Channel 11, weeknights. It's a terrific show. Harvey, thank you so much for coming on today. Have a great day.
Bye, guys.
What's the deal with this National Treasure franchise? How has this become one of the most successful movie franchises in history? Kevin, please explain.
I don't know. I saw the first one. And it was, I mean, as far as being a thriller-type movie where he's running from people and you got to figure out who's who and all that, I mean, it's pretty good, but the second one, wasn't the second one National Treasure Book of Secrets about how Nicolas Cage found out that his grandparents might have been in on the threat to kill President Lincoln, and then he had to find out to clear his family, he had to kidnap the president. I mean, really?
It does. It tests your ability to believe what you're seeing up on the screen. That's for sure. But $171 million this thing has made already. It just completed its third weekend in a row as the number one movie in America. And we thought, we've got to find out more about this because none of us have seen it yet. But can it really be that good? So we've got the star of the film, Nicolas Cage, on the phone with us right now here on K-Rock. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Kevin Levine. How are you?
$171 million so far.
Yeah, how about that?
Seems like a lot.
Yes, it does.
And Nick, you're a guy whose career has had a lot of ups and downs. I mean, there have been times for you where you've made 4 or 5 movies in a row that have just sucked and no one's gone and everybody pretty much counted you out.
Yeah, those days are over. I'm pretty much a big movie star now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, now
I
Kevin tried...
I sell you bums.
Well, you probably could. That's
yeah.
true. Kevin kind of gave a thumbnail sketch to the plot of the new National Treasure movie, but I'm still not sure I understand what happens. Can you tell me what goes on in this film, please?
The story is basically very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's about my great-grandfather. I play Benjamin Franklin Gates, and my great-grandfather, Thomas Gates, is involved in the conspiracy to kill President Lincoln.
Okay.
and he discovers a page in John Wilkes Booth's diary that contains a Playfair cipher that he needs to uncover, which may, in fact, lead to the fact that the South is having an attempt to find the city of gold that will actually...
I already don't understand. I don't understand what you're saying. How do you make that work?
It will actually, you know, keep the war going by giving them more money. So what Thomas Gates found is that there was actually a code within his book, and there's someone who steps forward and says that Thomas Gates was involved in the murder of President Lincoln along with Wilkes Booth.
Right.
I go out to prove that my family was not involved in the murder, which leads, of course, to the Statue of Liberty in Paris, where I find clues that lead me to Buckingham Palace, where I need to break into the Queen's desk, and that, of course, leads me to the White House. And when I don't find what I find in the White House, I have to kidnap the president to find out about the Book of Secrets to lead me to Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
What?
Now, wow. I don't even know where to start with that story.
Very simple.
It doesn't seem
very simple.
Simple to me. Seems very complex to me. Like, who could break into Buckingham Palace and the White House?
Me.
Well,
that's pretty simple.
Yes. All right.
So are you trying, is there a treasure that you're hunting this time around, Nick, or is it just to clear the family name?
Yes, the City of Gold.
The City of Gold is the treasure.
The ancient City of Gold that the Native Americans told fables and stories about. It actually exists.
And what are you hoping to do with the City of Gold? Are you hoping to uncover it?
No, protect it. I'm more of a treasure protector.
Oh, I see.
Than a treasure hunter.
Okay.
Should
have known that. Yeah.
Treasure protector.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nick, today's your birthday, right?
Today's my birthday.
Now, what is a big time 44, right? What does a big time Oscar-winning movie star like you do on a day like today?
Break into Buckingham Palace.
You're going to break in again?
Steal something from the Queen's desk.
Well, I think that was probably just done on a movie set or what. I mean, I didn't see the movie, but I'm sure you didn't really break into Buckingham Palace, nor could you.
Or did I?
Well, I'm saying no, because there had to be cameras there, the whole deal.
Or were there? Well,
so you're going to try and break into Buckingham Palace today?
No, that'd be silly.
Nick, are you still married to that waitress?
Yes, I'm a very happily married man. And I love my son, Kal-El.
Your son is Kal-El.
Oh, yes. That's right. You named him after Superman. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Last son of Krypton.
Yeah.
Sure.
I have a lot of problems.
You do.
You're an odd guy.
But I'm rich, and I have the number one movie in America.
3 weeks in a row.
So lick it.
What time's the lie detector get here, by the way?
8 o'clock.
Oh, can't wait.
Very excited about that.
Is Dave in?
King of Mexico here?
Yeah.
King is here.
Yeah.
No, I mean, is he in the building? Is he in on the lie detector? Does he understand that he's
the
victim?
We didn't ask him. It's not an option.
Oh, okay.
It's not like he's got a choice.
Not giving him a choice.
Strapping him in.
Moment of Truth is the new Fox show. The guy with the lie detector, the polygraph operator, is going to be here along with the host of that show, Mark Wahlberg. We'll be happy to talk about their show, but while we have a lie detector on the premises, we want to finally expose Dave for the liar that he is, claiming to have had sex with Yasmin Miss Double December 2006. So that's going to be the goal of that that experience.
By the way, here's your word of the day.
Okay.
Polygrapher.
Oh, that's what you call them?
That's what you call a guy who operates a polygraph machine. He's a polygrapher.
We were referring to him as the lie detectorer.
I noticed that. that's not so much not what they're called, yes.
Polygrapher.
Polygrapher.
Okay. Here's sounds like he's got more than one wife, but
it does,
I'm not,
yes.
not good with that.
It's not quite the same.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? National Treasure, Book of Secrets. Heard you talking to Nicolas Cage earlier.
Seems very happy.
He seems very happy with himself. Why not? $20 million it made this weekend, still keeping it at the number one slot after 3 weeks in theaters.
Did you see that, Ralph?
I did. I checked it out this weekend.
Okay, because Nick was giving us the plot line, and it sounded like he was confused. There was so much going on.
Was
he
accurate? Straight on. It's exactly
what
happens. Yes.
And they make it work.
They make it completely work. I mean, you got to...
You have to suspend your disbelief for
have to do that.
Okay.
And what it is, it's a modern-day Indiana Jones, basically, is what it is. When Indiana Jones is a lot easier to buy when it's set in the 40s or something. You can get away with a lot of stuff versus modern-day, because we know how tough it is with technology and everything to do anything. But they still make it work, as long as you just... You know, go along for the ride and get your popcorn out.
They marketed it because it's a Disney film, right? They marketed it to kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect for families and kids. It's very clean and wholesome, and it's a good time at the movies. And
how about
and he uses chipmunks to get in and steal stuff for him?
Exactly. Yes,
okay.
That's
now
exactly
I got
what happens. He uses chipmunks to steal for him.
Now I got it.
Yes. I Am Legend was number 2 at the box office, making $16.4 million, just nudging out Juno. which took the number 3 slot. Speaking of those darn chipmunks, oh, they're so cute.
Aren't they?
Number 4 at the box office, Alvin and the Chipmunks made $16 million. One Missed Call, in its debut, made $13.5 million, good enough to make it number 5. Charlie Wilson's War, starring Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts, number 6 at the box office. You said you liked that, Lisa?
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
So good.
Tom Hanks, by the way, will be on David Letterman tonight, which is always a good time on television, so you may want to check that out.
Fantastic.
P.S. I Love You, number 7 with Hilary Swank. The Water Horse, Legend of the Deep, was number 8. Sweeney Todd, Demon Barber of Fleet Street, turned in at number 9. And Atonement, number 10 at the box office this week. And Atonement, of course, A, meaning singular, or one, toning. Tone meaning a sound or...
Right.
Or
I don't think you have that right.
Well, let's break it down, shall we? Aton. Aton meaning the first, meant meaning...
The one God.
One God.
I think.
Atonement. All right, let's break it down. A.
I want to take one last look at the word atonement.
Okay, let's take a look.
The first 4 letters of the word form the foundation.
Aton.
A.
T-O-N.
I don't think this has anything to do with the movie, though. I think this is different.
No. Aton.
Aton.
Have you seen it?
Can you speed it up?
Aton.
Aton. I think he's trying to get us there.
The one God.
One God.
The one God, yeah.
So if you look at the Aton, add an E to it.
Okay.
And separate the A from the next 4 letters, and you get the word A, tone.
Right, sure.
Okay. Tone means sound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't have any more time for that, but that's the gist of it, I think.
It sounds like a dull movie.
It does.
Sure does.
Some guy yelling at you.
You know, it's so funny. Eddie Murphy and Tracy Evans got married in the South Pacific on Bora Bora.
Yeah.
It's not legal.
Really?
No, they still have to have another ceremony when they get back to the U.S. Apparently, you can just go to Bora Bora and do whatever you want, but it doesn't count.
Oh.
So,
I like it.
He might know that.
Yeah, he might.
Yeah, good point.
He might pick up a tranny on the way home and just take off. Speaking of celebrity marriages, Natalie Imbruglia and her husband, Silverchair frontman Daniel Johns, are splitting up. The couple met in 1999, wed on New Year's Eve 2003, and apparently are parting amicably, according to a mutual spokesperson. We remain friends, they say. Of course they do. Apparently Natalie found out he sings for Silverchair.
Yeah. That was a deal breaker.
I think. I heard you guys talking to Harvey Levin about the Britney Spears Dr. Phil matter.
Yeah, yes. What the hell?
Phil just showing up there trying to book her on his show, and he gave a press release to Entertainment Tonight saying, My meeting with Britney at some of her family members this morning in her room at Cedars convinced me more than ever that she's in dire need of both medical and psychological intervention.
Wow. Is what she needed a press release from a TV doctor? Is that what she needed?
Maybe that's not so much what she needed.
Yeah.
However, people are saying that he really wasn't welcome there. And although Dr. Phil claims he walked her out to his car, TMZ says that would be news to her because apparently she walked to her car by herself, unless he was lurking somewhere behind a pickup truck or something stalking her.
I was in the area.
Yeah.
With a camera to try to get her on his TV show.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. Oh, Kevin's got a new enemy.
What?
This will be fun. I want to watch these two throw down.
What?
Kevin versus Russell Crowe.
Oh, no. Like my money's on Russell.
Yeah, me too. He's
Russell's mine.
He's going to kick your ass, Kevin.
I like him, though. What's the problem?
He doesn't like poker.
Oh.
He's
Why?
Against poker.
Nah, he's against
he's
it.
Gay.
He says that poker machines are corrupting his fellow countrymen in Australia.
Okay.
So he's starting a one-man brigade to remove the 200,000 poker machines that are in local pubs all over Australia. He's trying to get them banned from the drinking establishments in Australia.
Is it not an option for them not to play? Are
nope.
they forced by someone to play?
Yes, apparently they are.
Okay.
By Mr. Alcohol. That's who's forcing them. He says that it's a blight on the nation, and he's going to continue his fight to have them removed. Doesn't like the poker, Kevin.
Nope. Yeah.
Take just people down. Like you.
And A, yeah. the
no,
first okay. letter
come on.
Of the alphabet.
No, we got no time.
And the first letter of the numerical system
right.
is 1.
We don't have
so
time
A equals 1.
Yeah.
So A
mm-hmm.
sound.
Right. Okay.
Means when you hear mm-hmm. the A tone.
Yes, I hear the sound.
You will hear the right sound.
Oh,
okay.
Wish I wasn't hearing this sound now.
Dude, that was painful.
Jared Leto's got a new man crush.
Ah!
And it's not Psycho Mike.
Damn it!
Devastating.
After all that work.
Apparently he's got a new best buddy. I'm seeing hanging out in Brazil.
Dr. Phil?
With some Victoria's Secret models.
Yeah.
Him and his best new best buddy, Stavros Niarchos.
No!
Oh, really?
Paris Hilton's ex-boyfriend. Apparently the two are inseparable these days.
Oh, boy. Wow. He passed up you for Stavros Niarchos, Mike. How do you like that?
That's because he couldn't contain himself around me.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Smoldering sexuality. Yeah.
You know Megan Fox from Transformers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
She's got an interview in Maxim magazine this month saying that she is not ashamed of her strong sexual appetite.
Okay, good.
She says she is always in the mood. I would wreck her. But it doesn't mean she's a one-night stand kind of girl. Sorry, fellas. Apparently, she prefers her bedroom action when she's in a relationship, she claims.
I like meat.
Yeah, you do. Isn't she dating some tool?
Brian Austin Green.
Yeah, the guy from 90210. Brian
God
Austin Green.
It.
Yeah, it's not
from
right.
90210.
It's not right.
Hasn't had a job since Reagan was in office.
And has aged horribly.
Yes. It's not good looking
God damn
good.
It.
And Natalie Portman, apparently, has baby fever. She
Uh-oh.
Says she's not sure about getting married, but motherhood is still her greatest aspiration. Any volunteers?
I'm sure there are
well,
many.
Raise your hands. How much participation does she need? Just the original, or is she going to need some follow-up?
I don't know. I think she might just need a donor.
I'm in.
I'd like
yeah.
to donate. I'd like to give till it hurts. That's all I want to donate.
I know you
but
do.
she should adopt, though, right, guys?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to blow that up.
But she's tiny, too.
Yeah.
She is I
tiny.
Mean,
she
will, seriously. She could
will,
die.
She will give birth like in the Alien movies. You won't even get it out the normal way. Just come out of her stomach and just scamper across the floor. What? Psycho Mike, what?
It's creeping him out.
Does that bug you?
I don't know why.
When you say things that are gross to Psycho Mike, this is a weird thing about him. He literally has a physical reaction to
yeah,
throw up.
He almost crumples to his knees.
And only certain
heaving.
Things. I don't know what it is, but I just imagine like something ripping through her chest.
Yeah. It's been many through. Times that we've seen him over in the corner throwing up.
Yeah, retching into a trash can.
During our show.
And yeah, one of the grossest people I know
yes.
at times.
Oh,
he can
by
say
far.
The grossest thing.
By
yes.
far, yeah. And of course,
me like things.
Natalie Portman, of course, in the Star Wars movies, and it may be Star Wars films that protected a mother's life of an 11-year-old boy.
How does that work?
Listen to this story. Apparently, the mom was on her way to a car with her 11-year-old son when a guy in his 30s assaulted her and started beating her.
Oh, my God.
The kid whipped out his trusty lightsaber. He had a toy lightsaber with him.
Yeah.
And started smacking the assaulter, and scared the attacker away.
Come on.
Wow.
Come on. You believe that?
Police say the incident could have turned out a lot worse if it hadn't been for the boy and his toy lightsaber protecting his mom.
How old was the boy?
11 years old.
11.
Whipping out his lightsaber.
The force was strong with that one, though.
It is, yeah.
He is quite the Padawan. That's all I know. Did I give away my tickets for Cloverfield?
You did not. Not
oh,
this,
I suck.
Not this hour.
This is the greatest thing ever. I've got tickets to an advanced screening of a movie called Cloverfield. Are you aware of it?
J.J. Abrams.
This is going to be the most anticipated film of the year, I predict. Everyone's been talking about it ever since we saw that trailer where Statue of Liberty's head comes rolling off and going down Fifth Avenue.
That's the
That's
best.
That's bad news right
Statue
there.
Statue of Liberty's head is not
if
what you want to see.
Something can knock the head off the Statue of Liberty. Get your ass out of New York. That's what I recommend. I cannot wait to see this movie. I'm going to this screening. It's going to be Thursday, January the 17th. That means you'll see it a whole 24 hours before the rest of the world does, a special K-Rock screening. I've got three pairs of passes to give away. I'll be giving them away all morning long. But three pairs of passes. Let's see. A little trivia. J.J. Abrams is the producer of this film.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
This isn't his first experience with big-budget action-adventure films.
True. What else you got?
Name the first big-budget action-adventure film that he directed a couple years ago. If you know the name of that movie, call now. 1-800-520-1067. First three people with the correct answer get a pair of tickets to the advanced screening of Cloverfield. I cannot wait to see this movie. Very, very excited. Today's celebrity birthdays, David Caruso, our pal from CSI Miami.
How about that?
Sir? Happy birthday, sir. He is 52 years old.
Mr. Overactor.
Yeah. Remember Sammo Hung?
No.
Martial law. It's martial law. Remember the big fat kung fu guy who show on CBS for 8 minutes? Sammo Hung. Starring Sammo Hung. Like, we're supposed to know who Sammo Hung was. Sammo celebrates his 56th birthday today. Nicolas Cage, star of National Treasure Book of Secrets, is 44 years old today. Did you know there's a book that's passed from president to president that holds all of our nation's secrets?
I've heard that's true.
Everything. Area 51, who shot Kennedy, all the stuff, what actually went down, and only the president reads it, and it's passed from president to president.
I've heard that that's true.
It's true.
It's not true, though.
I saw it. It's true.
All right.
And Dustin Diamond, Screech from Saved by the Bell, is 31 years old today. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. Let's go to Juan in Whittier. Good morning.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hey. What is the name of the movie? Mission Impossible 3 is the name of the movie that J.J. Abrams directed, big-budget action-adventure film with Tom Cruise, of course. Congratulations. Stay on the line. We're going to give you all the details. You are going to the advanced screening of Cloverfield, thanks to K-Rock.
Very cool.
Excellent.
All right. Hold on. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The only cool thing about being a black comedian is you get to say shit other people can't say. That's the deal. White women are disappearing at an alarming rate, man. Between abductions, anorexia, and black athletes, there ain't going to be no white women left for y'all. The only people ain't laughing at that is white men and black women. F*** you, DL. That's not funny. Everybody's politically correct. You can't say nothing no goddamn more, man. I'm just telling you how I see it. Gas is so high, gas costs more than cocaine. I'm not saying I know. I'm just telling you it's high. This nation was founded by immigrants. Everybody in this mother took a boat. Some of us willingly. Women love to spend time with you, but only when you're doing the shit they want to do. Let's stay home and drink some wine and watch some porno. No!
I am always excited by the opportunity to see our next guest on the TV, which means tonight's my night on VH1, the 13th Annual Critics' Choice Awards, hosted by the great D.L. Hughley. On the phone with us right now on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, D.L.
Morning. How y'all been? Happy New Year. I ain't talked to you in a while. How you doing?
To you as well. Thank you. Very well.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Well, DL, I am too. And I gotta say, the first question we all have to ask is, we're so confused how you're going to be able to put this show on television tonight. What with the writer's strike and everything going on? We've been hearing about all the problems that shows like the Golden Globes are having. How is it possible your show's on?
Well, we're on a cable show, so the cable network, so it's a non-union show, but.
This
union strike has gone on a long. This has lasted longer than the Alabama bus strike. What is going on?
I don't know. You know, the most frustrating thing, DL, is that they don't talk.
Well, I don't know. It's pretty obvious to me that white people don't know how to protest. They need an Al Sharpton. That's what they need.
Yeah, true.
You're absolutely right.
You know, to stop people from crossing the picket line, you got to be able to intimidate them like the Teamsters. Who's going to scare the Woody Allen?
But, DL, you've been in show business a long, long time. I'm sure you've got a lot of friends who are in the Writers Guild. You're in the Writers Guild, for God's sakes.
I'm in the Writers Guild, yeah.
What do you guys talk about? I mean, not officially, but what do you guys talk about when you get together about how to resolve this thing?
I think that the fairest thing is that you know, I don't think that the writers are asking for anything that's unfair, but I think they're making a supremacist calculation. If you believe, well, you know, when they last did their contract in 88, I guess it was, studios were more independently owned. Now they're owned by large corporations who have no vested interest in dealing with unions on any level. So I think that, you know, people have tried to systematically rid themselves of unions, and I think that the more corporate influences there are, the greater chance that people aren't going to talk, and that they got deep enough pockets to kind of wait this thing out. Eventually, somebody's going to have to do something. I mean, when you look at how, on this best day, it works under the premise that you don't think I can get somebody else to do your job?
That's true.
That's right. That's right. Okay, but what about what Kevin said, which is the most frustrating thing, is that they're not even at the table. I mean, shouldn't it be required on a strike like this that's costing millions and millions and millions of dollars that they ought to at least meet once a week and see if there's anything to talk about?
But I think that this is so outside the pale. I think people kind of really aren't aware of what's going on. I mean, you'll look up and somebody will say, I have a new episode of this, and Jay Leno's back on, and David Letterman's also. People, I don't think, are as aware that nothing's going on. I mean, they see shows, like people have shows in the can, so it's really had to be impactful, but the people on the other side of the camera. So I think that that's why nobody's had to do anything. And you're not going to get the government, the Congress to come in. They're too busy worried about steroids to worry about whether Grey's Anatomy is coming back.
This is D.L. Hughley on the line. We're talking about the 13th Annual Critics' Choice Awards, which is going to be tonight at 9 o'clock on VH1. All the big movies, all the big stars on this show. I mean, this is a pretty prestige award to win, right?
Right. Well, I think that it gives a chance for critics from the Sacramento Bee to sit next to Angelina Jolie. That's
what nothing wrong with that.
Hey, I'd come up with an award show if that got me that.
Sure.
Don't worry. took the gig.
Now tell us about, they have different categories than a lot of the shows. There's Best Young Actors.
They have a few different. It's kind of a hybrid between the Oscars and the kind of MTV Awards. But I think that what they try to do is to have it be a little more contemporary, but they still recognize Best Picture. I think they recognize performances that they might not. You know, it's funny because I'm having to do the show, and there's a difference, like there are a lot of movies I would never watch. Like there's a movie called Into the Wild about,
right.
You know, white dude going to escape the world he knows, so he goes to Alaska. Couldn't he have just went to Detroit?
Would have taken him a lot less time, I'll tell you that.
Right. He'd have went right back home. But, you know, and then there's a story of Juno, I guess a young teenage girl gets pregnant. Mm-hmm. Ain't it funny how a little white girl gets pregnant, she get an Oscar nomination. A sister gets pregnant, she get a box of condoms and a visit from a social worker.
I have a feeling that DL is working on the act right now. I think he's sharpening up his lines for tonight.
It's a whole different thing, man.
What is your favorite movie of 2007, DL, if you have one, now that you've been immersed in them?
2007 would have had to have been, I guess, American Gangster was my favorite movie.
Yeah, that was
American
good.
Gangster. Well, you know, I take that back. No Country for Old Men. No Country for Old Men was my favorite movie. And I guess Javier Bardem played this deranged Mexican series. You know, it's a crazy movie, but it has two elements that scare me to death. Texas and serial killers.
Yeah.
Hey, DL, are you going to be our first friend who saw that movie who could explain what happened at the end of it? Because the rest of us are still shaking our heads.
I don't understand, but I do know this. If Javier Bardem was a Mexican serial killer, then I'm changing my stance on immigration. Maybe we do need that wall.
Oh. I don't think that wall would have helped keep him out, unfortunately. That guy's like magic.
It made me feel like Lou Dobbs. Build it higher. Keep him out.
Now, are the movie stars showing up to get the awards?
I think a lot of them are.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we have some people that you know, I think the thing that they've been saying is in flux because, you know, some people are... I think to that credit, a lot of actors are really trying to be conscientious and to kind of stay away from things that, you know, that really aren't in support of the writer's strike. But as long as we do everything right and our due diligence and everything's fine, then a lot of them are scheduled to come. So we're going to have a good time.
What do you think is going to happen with next Monday's Golden Globes? There's talk now that all the Screen Actors Guild members are going to boycott it. If there's no stars, are they even going to put it on TV? Are they going to have the show? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, you know, I'm not a you know, like a union representative, but I can say this, that I think that at a certain point it becomes counterproductive. I think that at a certain point you start to cannibalize yourself, and then your causes aren't. I mean, it's literally like you'll watch anything from baseball to football to, you know, when they've had these strikes. That it has hurt the entity. Like, it hurt baseball for a long time. It hurt football for a long time. I don't think we're going to be any different. I think it has the potential to hurt us.
I'll tell you, one of the ones that it hurt the most was hockey. When hockey went out on strike, they replaced it with other things that got better ratings.
Right.
And so when they came back, they were like, okay, we're ready now.
Yeah, I sure miss hockey.
I know you do.
That was my example, not yours.
is it back on?
It is.
You know, let me tell you the thing about DL that we always say every time we have him on, and he's been kind enough to be a frequent guest on the Kevin DeBee Show. We would vote for this guy for president. You always make so much sense, DL. I just wish there were more people like you who really could just see it the way it is and tell it the way it is.
You know, thank you, man. I appreciate that. But it's so funny because I was flying in yesterday, and you know, it's, of course, everybody's making a big hullabaloo over Barack Obama winning the Iowa caucus. It's funny because when he won, he was shocked.
Yeah,
he was on his way to pick out his vice president's office. But I mean, because let's face it, ain't no black people in Iowa. Any black people in Iowa is in the witness protection program. but I think that I was flying in, and the point I was making, we were delayed 3 hours, and it was an hour to get the bag, and it was. But, you know, by the time you get finished watching all these politicians make all these promises they could never keep, ultimately, if you could just make somebody's life a little better, like if you could make sure that airlines are responsible for getting people on time.
Yeah.
Or if you could make sure that, I mean, apparently there's an idea where you can sync up all these signals, stop signals in the entire country for like $100 million and save virtually everybody 20 minutes on their ride to work every day, 20 minutes off your commute. That, just simple things that makes people's life a lot better. Do the simple things, and people will take care of the rest. And I think the politicians make these grandiose plans and goals and statements that they know they can't ever accomplish. If somebody saved me 20 minutes on my commute.
Yeah, that'd be enough. They're in.
And it made me, it took gas down a dollar. You could be president.
See, that's all he's asking. Come on, people. Now you know what you need to get DL's vote.
The show is the 13th Annual Critics' Choice Awards. It airs tonight at 9 o'clock West Coast time on the VH1. DL, always great to catch up with you, man. We'll see you soon.
And happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Thank you, man. You too. We have been qualifying you for quite some time for Linkin Park in Paris.
That would be cool.
That would be way cool.
My wife has been trying to get me to take her to Paris since the first week we were together. And I've resisted because there are so many French people there. And I think that's a reason enough to not go. But everyone I know who has been, Kevin included, comes back and goes, beautiful place, fantastic food, great sights. You ought to go if you ever have the opportunity to go. It's one of those places in the world you most should see.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. And they do hate us, but it's amazing.
A lot of French people, though, right?
Tell them you're from Canada. Yes, a lot of French people, it turns out.
That's the thing. That's the deal breaker for me.
Not a lot of English people there. All right, we are calling our grand prize winner, trip for two to Paris.
Oui.
See, Paris is even better if you don't have to pay for it, by the way.
Hey, absolutely.
You got to be joking.
Isaac?
Yeah.
Stern?
This is me.
In Santa Monica?
This is me.
You're our grand prize winner, my friend.
I'm a grand prize winner.
Yes. Yep.
Nice.
You are going to Paris, France to see
awesome.
Linkin Park.
That is awesome. You gotta be joking.
Not joking.
Joking.
You're the one.
I gotta tell you about my man Isaac. I am shocked that he did not swear, because that would be the natural reaction of most people when they get a phone call like this. Free trip to Europe. Hell yeah.
You're blanking
can't
me.
Wait.
All right. Well, congratulations. You got tickets to see them March 4th at the Staples Center already.
Yep.
Awesome.
And then you qualified for this, which is airfare for two, hotel for two, a pair of tickets, and $500 spending cash.
Awesome.
Have you been to Paris before?
I have. I went there about 5 years ago.
No kidding. Did you have a great time?
I did.
Fantastic.
Super.
Would you like to come with me, Kevin, maybe?
Would I like
to? We invited Kevin. Interesting choice. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me just ask a question here. Do I have to put out?
Probably.
Nah,
it is Paris.
I can't
land
make it.
Of love.
Yeah.
It did sound like a mandate. I got to be honest.
I can't make it then. I'm sorry.
Isaac, unfortunately, you're going to have to find somebody else to go with you. But you are going to freaking Europe just for listening to K-Rock and being a Linkin Park fan. So we're very, very happy for you.
Thank you, man. Way to go, man. We're gonna put you on hold and give you all the details.
All right.
If you're just tuning in for the first time this morning, you missed Harvey Levin about an hour ago. We were talking to him about Britney Spears and the bizarre weekend that happened with her being in Cedars-Sinai and then getting let out early, and then Dr. Phil went to her room, and all kinds of just bizarre stuff. And if you've listened to the show before much, you know that there is somebody who defends Britney Spears. Her name is Jessie. She's from Team Britney. And every time Ralph does a story about Britney Spears, she sends a very impassioned name-calling email, because she's very upset at Ralph for being part of the media who makes up all the stories about Britney Spears. Jessie, good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. How
are
you doing?
By the way, you sit on a throne of lies. I do not send an email every single time. I sent an email twice. And then I just responded 50,000 times.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that's different.
There you go.
Right, okay.
Well, Jesse, you're a little more invested in Britney Spears than the rest of us are. When you heard the news about her ending up in Cedars-Sinai the other night after that police standoff where she wouldn't give her kids back, what were your thoughts?
Well, okay, I got to credit you guys, because I didn't know anything until I woke up that morning and my radio turned on and actually heard my name come out. It's like, Jesse, blah, blah, blah. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Well, we were asking what you must have thought about that after we had mentioned the story.
I didn't hear anything, and then I turned on my TV, and Harvey Levin was on Channel 11, and I still missed that. I had to go on the internet and find out. But
not much of a Team Britney, if you ask me.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
See, here's the thing.
Kind of the last person to find out about it, really, is what it sounds like.
Well, okay, see, here's the thing. When Britney missed her deposition in December, I've kind of not been so happy with Britney. So
wait a minute.
Are you turning a little bit on Britney, maybe, finally?
Are you kidding?
Well, I haven't turned, but I just avoided any Britney news. I mean, I pretty much from there, she kind of just went downhill, and it just with the dating the photographer and just Jamie Lynn, it's just so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
And it just,
all right, Jesse, hold on a second. Hold on. Because there have been 700 stories in a row going back, you know, a couple of years on Britney. You discounted every single one of them. What made you start believing them?
Well, her whole, like, custody battle with Kevin, it's all been about, like, everybody's just saying, like, oh, it's just you know, Kevin's trying to make this image that Britney's blah, blah, blah. And to me, it's like this was her opportunity for her to tell her side of the story and tell, you know, hey, I am a good mom. Hey, I don't do this stuff. And, you know, and she didn't even show up. And then her excuse to me wasn't credible at all. I mean, if she was sick from anxiety from paparazzi who could follow her everywhere from Starbucks to gas stations to Target all the time and deal with that, but she can't deal with it when she's going to, like, go and, you know, put something on record about her kids. That made me really sick to my stomach. I was really disappointed.
Somebody's on her meds again. Congratulations, Jesse, for getting back on your medication.
But you're right, Jesse. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that she's done that is pretty questionable.
Indefensible.
But when it comes to actually, you know, a mom who cares about her kids will do anything to keep them, which would mean going to court when she's supposed to and doing what she can to get them back. And she didn't show up for all these depositions. And then when she finally did, she was 2 hours late.
And that too, you know, when she was late, I mean, I was like, everybody was like, oh, Britney showed up. And I'm like, did you guys forget? She showed up like 45 minutes
okay,
late.
Okay, wait a minute.
What is going on here?
Hold on. Who are
you? This is like George W. Bush coming on my TV going, you know what? I think the Muslims are right. You know what? I was wrong. The Muslims are right.
What are you? Who are you? What have you done with Jesse?
Put the real Jesse on.
I think my family said the same thing around Christmas time. They're like,
oh, I see.
What the hell's going on?
That's what happened, is your family got to you and said, hey, how about stopping this absurdity? And you said, what absurdity? And they called you on it.
No, they didn't. They're like, so, what's up with Britney Spears? I'm like, who gives a bleep about Britney Spears?
No, I can't get that from you.
That was my response. And they were like, everybody was like, what?
Yeah. This means we can't talk to Jesse anymore. Nope. She's normal again. We can't.
You know
see,
what?
Here's what we thought was going to happen today, Jesse. We were going to get you on the phone and we were going to say she barricaded herself in her bathroom with her kids. She wouldn't let the people take her back to Kevin as she was supposed to. And the police were showed up and she ended up in the hospital. And we thought you were going to come on and go, what mom hasn't had that happen to her? Because that's usually been your MO in the past, is it's only the media's fault for shining the spotlight on her, and she's not doing anything wrong. But now you realize her behavior is inexcusable.
Well, you know what? When I did find out, you know, she went to the hospital, I mean, I would lie and say if I didn't feel, like, really sad. But then I read the whole story, and I was like, what? She practically kidnapped her kid. It was like, what the hell's wrong with her? And, you know, so I read into it. But I will tell you, over the weekend, I have been working on this whole Britney thing, and it's like what I'm fight. I mean, I'm supporting Britney.
What do you mean you've been working on it? What does that mean?
I've just been doing Team Britney stuff. It's just like I want to get, you know, the websites like TMZ, to stop posting like reports on her. Just leave her alone. Hopefully, she'll go and.
Well, that's actually what Harvey was talking about earlier this morning.
Yeah,
the guy who runs TMZ.
And you know what? I woke up this morning and I was like, I am gonna just lay on Harvey Levin and tell him what scum he is. And I really, really have a whole way of looking at him now.
Hold on,
Jesse.
Hold on. Hey, Lightning. hey, Lightning. We wanted Jesse from Team Britney.
Instead of this fraud that's on the phone?
I don't know who he got, but this is not Jesse.
Well, it's at the point, if you weren't listening earlier, where even Harvey said, look, I make a lot of money off Britney, and she drives traffic to TMZ.com, but at this point, mm-hmm. I'm really just scared for a human being's life. I mean, Harvey does have that
honestly,
side to him.
I am, too, and I do credit him for that. Like, I already posted it like on blogs and stuff. Like, Harvey has done a great thing, and I want other websites to follow in his steps. Like, unfortunately, there's websites that have responded, and they're like, no, we're going to continue reporting on Britney. But I think, you know, everybody needs just to back off, and hopefully she'll be like, well, nobody's paying attention to me, and maybe I do need help.
You can't be the...
Have I not said before she needs to get help, you know?
You
and I want
have,
her to help.
But you've also discounted every story that's come along in a couple of
not
years.
Every story.
Just about.
Mostly, though. I mean, let's face it, Jesse. The reason you keep coming on our show, the reason we keep inviting you on your show, is you're the one person who's out there willing to defend Britney, and now even you've turned on her.
I haven't turned on her. I still have hope for her. I have hope for her kids, and, you know, I think that at this time, it's really sad. I think if everybody completely turns their back on her the way they've had, then it's going to continue to go like this. This whole Dr. Phil thing, too, is pretty pathetic of him. Like, he just disgusts me to a whole new level.
Listen, that's my take on it, yep. And I can't have the same opinion as you. So now
and
I have to change my opinion.
Her mom is a sleaze. You know, if she wants to get Britney help, she doesn't have to go to a therapist or a doctor who's, like, in the eye. You know,
of course, she doesn't need a TV doctor.
Professional, basically. She could have gone to somebody who's professional and said, hey, you know, come and help out my daughter. She didn't
of course.
Need to go to Dr. Phil, who runs
Of course, TV. You're absolutely right. All right, let me ask you one more question, Jesse, because we're almost out of time here. And this is the important one. Forget for a minute the kids and forget for a minute the troubles with drugs. Will she ever be hot again?
She will. I promise.
She will be hot. Okay,
you
good.
Promise?
I hope you're right about that.
Wow.
One more thing, if I could just ask you and the listeners to do something. There's a petition going around about the paparazzi, and I just want to get everybody to sign it. And it's not about Britney. It's about Britney and other celebrities and just people, bystanders, just being in danger of the paparazzi. It's just really getting out of hand. So if you can go to www.ipetition.com/petition/getcontrol/.
Okay.
Yeah, we got that.
Go right to that.
That's an easy one to remember. All right, yeah. Jesse from Team Britney, we may never be able to talk to you again now that you're back on your medication. I'm sorry.
You guys need medication.
We like you better.
Anger management.
We like you better without your medication. You're much more fun.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Here's the way we look at it. You've heard the middle of that song before, right?
I mean, there's no one needs that.
You heard the middle
it's
of
the it. The new mix. I think that was God's way of expressing his displeasure at the new Team Britney Jesse. Yeah. I think that really her change of heart has just upset the entire universe.
Well, here's what happened. We lost our signal. Now we're on a weaker transmitter so that we can only be heard in less than one quarter of the city.
We can be heard at La Cienega in Fairfax.
So if you like the show, go there.
If you're there,
hear
that's
it.
Where you can hear us.
Oh, it's crap. Oh, no.
I don't even know what that alarm.
The Arbitron alarm.
Get
the hell out of here.
I don't even know what that alarm
happening?
Means.
We're going down.
I don't know what that alarm
We're
is.
We're going down. Blow all the tanks.
What does that mean?
Dive.
What is happening? What kind of lights are going off now?
Red flashing alarms that I've never seen before, and I don't know what they mean.
Dude, get to the boats!
Is
women
it evacuation?
And children. Women and children first!
Is it fire? What is it?
We don't know.
I've never heard of it.
Hey, Ralph, assuming we're still on the air in the 8 o'clock hour.
We're not.
Did you talk to the Moment of Truth polygrapher?
I did not speak with a polygrapher. They're busy wiring Dave's testicles.
Is that how they do it?
Good. I don't know why they had to do that, but they have like jumper cables connected to his scrot.
We have a lie detector in the building. We're going to hook Dave up to it and find out what really happened over the holidays.
That's fantastic.
I can't wait
his story about Nail and Yasmin, former Miss Double December 2006, that can't be true, right? He's having a laugh, right?
Yes, Ricky Gervais, he's having a laugh.
We will find out in the 8 o'clock hour, and if you don't hear it, Bean will blog about it. I don't know.
horrible option.
Our equipment seems to be super shaky right now.
I'm just worried about the Arbitron alarm. That's
giant
all I care about.
Giant thing saying Arbitron alarm. What does that mean, Bean?
I have no idea. I've never heard it before.
It means our ratings are so low, human ears can no longer hear our show.
It's flashing on and off in giant red
Once
letters.
Once you get down to one listener, the Arbitron alarm goes off and they take you off the air.
You might as well just stop.
Is that what it is? They say, look, what is the point, really? You have one drunk guy listening.
And he's asleep.
We just need for you to leave the airwaves now, please.
You know what this is like? This is like the candidates who didn't get invited to the debate over the weekend because they didn't pull enough percentage points in Iowa.
Us.
So all of a sudden, we no longer qualify as an LA radio show anymore.
That's right.
Well, sorry, we'll try and ignore it. Go on with the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of which, why is it only the Caucasians in Iowa can vote? Why is it the Iowa Caucasian? Why don't they just
have kinds
of races and creeds and religions and colors?
Okay.
We really
it's
should
caucus.
Have everybody
it's
who
not Caucasian.
Is an American, one vote, one man, I think.
It's
That's
caucus.
How it should be.
It's caucus. It's not Caucasian. However, in Iowa, it is still 95% white in that state, so it's essentially just white people voting.
Caucus? He doesn't even know us. That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Too bad
Thank
that wasn't
you.
On the air.
Good night, everybody. I'm done. I'm going home. Take a nap. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? National Treasure, Book of Secrets, the second in the Juggernaut National Treasure series. $20.2 million. Third week in a row, it's number one. By the way, if you saw National Treasure, the first one?
Yes.
You've seen National Treasure, Book of Secrets.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Same thing?
It is a carbon copy.
Oh. I was expecting
it. No kidding.
I saw the first one, not the second one. I was expecting the first one to be horrible, and it somehow succeeded.
Yes, and this one does the same thing, and it's the same exact story with different things going on in it. But
sure.
Same basic premise, same pretty much the same resolution. It is, but still very entertaining. And I'll tell you who's slumming in it. Helen Mirren.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
Yes. Helen Mirren plays Nicolas Cage's mom in the movie, the additional cast member. And she's great, of course. John Voight, another great actor, plays his dad. The thing is just chock full of talent.
Wow.
And it's a very entertaining film. I caught it this weekend. So
those are three Oscar winners you just named in this movie,
that's
by the way.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I Am Legend was number two at the box office, $16.4 million. Made it number two. Just edged out Juno, which fell into the number three slot. Alvin and the Chipmunks, number four. One Missed Call, in its debut, made just $13.5 million. Made it number five this weekend. Charlie Wilson's War was number six. P.S. I Love You turned in at number seven. The Water Horse, Legend of the Deep, was number eight. Sweeney Todd, number nine. And then number ten, Atonement, the Keira Knightley movie, which is getting huge critical raves.
Yeah.
Nearly reflected in the box office in terms of...
I have no interest in that.
You don't want to be swept away by a romantic story?
Me neither. Not a bit.
The Boer Wars in England or whatever the hell it is?
Not a bit.
No?
I look at that promo and I go, okay, next.
Ralph, why won't you go see Juno? What's wrong with you?
It's on the list, man. I can only do so much.
Okay.
We're going to have time in the 8 o'clock hour because we're not on the air.
The Arbitron line's going off.
Let's all go to the movies.
Let's go to the first screening of Juno.
I think they have an 8:30.
I want to see Juno. I want to see Charlie Wilson's War.
That's
I want to see Sweeney Todd. I mean, there's a whole bunch of movies I haven't seen.
I love to cut people's throats.
Kevin is Sweeney Todd.
Thank you.
In the...
Thank you very much.
Dumb Dumb Barber of Fleet Street.
I dare you.
Oh, Britney Spears. Come on now with the come on. That Jesse, that was wild.
How crazy was that?
Flip-flop like Mitt Romney.
We can't talk to her anymore.
I know. She's reasonable. Where's the fun in that?
That's no fun.
Yeah. People talk about the fact that Dr. Phil showed up over the weekend to, to help. That's what he was there for. And that had nothing to do with him. He wasn't trying to draw attention to him or his TV show. He was just there to help. That's why he did it under the radar. That's why he just offered his help. And then when she accepted and said, please come over, he got there right away.
No. It didn't work that way. He just barged his way in with a camera crew, from what we understand. She didn't know he was coming.
Oh, and then he went on Entertainment Tonight?
Yes, put out a press release.
I see.
Yeah.
Talking about how he was there to help. Well, that's good. Yeah. I heard Harvey say that he had booked her folks for his show.
Yes.
And from what I understand, they're still booked.
Oh, really?
Whether they're going to tape a segment or something and then air it at a later date, I have no idea when you'll see them. But apparently he does want to speak to the Spears family on air.
Listen, if Dr. Phil can just get through to someone in that family, it'll all be better.
Well, I think Lynn is the one to talk to, the mom, because obviously she has everyone's best interest at heart, given the job she's done so far. You know her dad's name, by the way?
No.
Jamie. Listen, when the dad's name is Jamie and the mom's name is Lynn and you name your daughter Jamie Lynn...
Not so creative.
You're just all about you, obviously.
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
You have no concern for the individuality of that child whatsoever.
You've done ecstasy, cocaine, crystal meth, acid, mushrooms, and marijuana.
All right, Dr. Phil.
Just got word from our listener on La Cienega. He just flipped over to Big Boy.
Did he?
Sorry to say, we love that one guy that we had. He's gone now. He's now with Power.
Oh, well. This is when the Arbitrum stormtroopers come in, then just take us all out. It's just horrible. Speaking of Britney, she has been spotted since her release from Cedar Sinai. Apparently, Sunday morning, she was seen having breakfast in Palm Desert, California.
Okay.
The only thing concerns me with Palm Desert, California is it's on the way to Vegas, isn't it?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I hope she's not heading out there.
Hmm.
Apparently, she was seen having breakfast at the Daily Grill, and the manager of the restaurant said Britney seemed to be in a really good mood. She laughed a lot. And even had a mimosa to celebrate her 48 hours of sanity. So
that's what she needs.
That's what she needs. A couple.
How stupid can you get?
All right, Dr.
Break her right out.
Isn't the weirdest thing about Britney is she has a home where you think she would spend some time, but she's like a little ping pong ball all over Southern California. She goes to this hotel for 4 hours, checks out, goes someplace else for 5 hours. I mean, it's just like she hates being at home more than anything.
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
No, it does not. Even if you're Adrian Grenet, you may not get all the ladies you want. Adrian, of course, the star of Entourage.
Sure.
According to the New York Daily News, the actor spent New Year's Eve propositioning several young women at Miami Shore Club to try to have a threesome.
Oh.
But couldn't talk any of the girls into the idea.
That is shocking to me.
Me too.
Me too.
you can, if you're Adrien Grenier and you can't score a three-way on New Year's Eve, you might as well just retire. You just get out of show business.
Really, that's
He's got the no-game game.
That's right. He's got to wear the fingerless gloves. That's what he needs.
Dave is pulling hotter chicks right now than the star of Entourage.
Yeah. And Dave's not as hot as Turtle.
Oh, no.
He doesn't
Although
quite
Yasmin
have
does
the attraction
say he's
of Turtle.
Yasmin does say he's wearing a turtleneck.
He is wearing a turtleneck.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. Just saying.
Speaking of movies.
Were we?
No. Star Magazine decided to send one of its Texas readers to a local cinema to check out Blonde Ambition, the new Jessica Simpson movie.
Oh, that's the one that went to one or a couple theaters in Texas?
The movie opened in 10 theaters, and it's only available in Texas.
Okay.
So they thought maybe they'd send somebody, do a little review. So they sent them to the local cinema on 50 Cent Tuesday, where you can see a movie for 50 cents at this theater. The theater was practically empty.
Oh, wow.
For 50 cents, people wouldn't go see,
too much.
See Jessica Simpson act.
It's too much.
The reader of Star Magazine said the acting, as expected, was terrible, and the love scenes between Luke Wilson and Jessica Simpson were almost unwatchable.
Wow.
I'm dying to see this now. Now I have
now
to
you
see
have to,
it.
Right?
Oh, yeah. As horrible as she is, all she has to do is take her top off, and we're all going.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the mistake they made.
She could be the world's biggest porn star if she wanted to be. She could be a multi-million dollar porn star songstress. Her CDs would sell better if she got into porn. She could have everything she ever wanted. She would just shut up and go, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You sure?
Unfortunately, yes.
Speaking of movies.
Were we?
Nope. I've got passes to a movie that I have been dying to see. I'm very excited about the fact that K-Rock is offering an advanced screening of a movie called Cloverfield. This is produced by J.J. Abrams. This is the story of a creature. We don't know what kind of creature, but he is angry.
Very.
Very angry. And not pleased with the city of New York for some reason.
If this is, I swear to God, you people, if this is that stupid black smoke from Lost, if that's the creature, then there's going to be a strongly worded letter coming from me.
I think it's Mr. Echo. He's back and he's pissed.
That'd be awesome.
He just swings his big axe handle and knocks the head off the Statue of Liberty.
I like it.
We're having it on Thursday, January the 17th at the Grove, which is a great place to see a theater because it's a really cool sort of outdoor mall area here off of Fairfax and 3rd. If you'd like to go, I've got a pair of tickets right now to callers, let's say, 9 and 10. Callers 9 and 10, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call if you'd like to see an advanced screening of Cloverfield. Come join me Thursday, January 17th to check it out. So, good times, Cloverfield.
That looks good.
Sure does. Today's celebrity birthdays, David Caruso, star of CSI Miami. Of course, he was my co-star back on NYPD Blue for many years. He is.
How many scenes did you do with him? I forgot.
Jeez, I can't quite remember.
Hadn't he been gone about 6 or 7 years by the time you did your arc?
Well, sure, there was that. He really wasn't on the show anymore. But sometimes we just act together in my dressing room.
I see.
He would stop by and we'd do some improvs.
Is that what your kids call it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Nicolas Cage, star of the biggest movie in America right now. He is 44 years old today.
Game.
Dustin Diamond, who played Screech on Saved by the Bell, turns 31. And Dougie Doug.
Yes.
Celebrates his 38th birthday today, so we want to give Dougie Doug a shout out.
Who is that?
You know Dougie Doug. He's the actor, rapper. He was in Cool Runnings. He was in That Darn Cat.
Really?
Come on, you know Dougie
How
Doug.
Does that not fall below the line?
Cool Runnings, the Jamaican bobsled team.
From 40 years ago, that movie?
Oh, hardly 40 years
ago.
How
long ago was it?
38, 39 years ago. That Darn Cat was recent. Christina Ricci?
I don't think Dougie Doug qualifies for
Dougie
celebrity birthday.
Dougie Doug. I'm standing by it.
Doesn't qualify.
You know what the E stands for?
No.
Doug. His name's Doug, Doug, Doug.
All right, now I'm glad we're not on the air.
No wonder the Arbitron alarm's going off. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Nope, Kevin. No.
I,
No. That's the wrong Mark Wahlberg. That's not. We got the TV Mark Wahlberg in our studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Not the Funky Bunch.
Not the Funky Bunch. Mark, you've never heard that one before, have you?
No, but sorry, wrong mic. But not with such delivery. That was actually the best I've had.
Mark Wahlberg, the TV one, has joined us. Fox's Moment of Truth airs Wednesday, January 23rd at 9. And Mark, your little friend that's with you, standing next to you, is Nick, who is the lie detector expert, who's on Moment of Truth. And both of you join us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
As desperate as we have been for new shows lately on the television.
By the way, every interview I do always starts with desperate, so that's good.
Yeah.
No. I am telling you that this show looks so awesome that I would watch this opposite the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. That's how excited I am about Moment of Truth.
It's a pretty awesome show.
Is the show. Is this one that came from another country and we're just adapting it for America, or is this homegrown?
This is actually, the press keeps saying that it came from another country, but what actually happened was it was created here. We did a pilot for it here. Then the pilot went overseas and sold, all of these countries, and then it came back to Fox.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It was really originally done for a different network. They passed, and then we went. I guess the producers took it around the world, and it sold to all sorts of countries, and all sorts of scandal ensued.
While we're talking about the scheduling and all that stuff, we have to ask about the writer's strike, which seems like a bad time to launch a new show. I mean, do you have a certain amount already in the can? Do you not use?
Well, we don't have writers.
You don't have writers.
Game shows,
we're an unscripted show, so it's kind of we fly by the seat of our pants. There's segment producing, but no writers. But in light of that, I have so many friends that are writers.
Yeah.
While the writer strike, I guess, to some degree might help us, I just want it to be resolved so everybody can get back to work and the whole business doesn't crash and burn. We would have been fine either way,
But of course, the questions that you ask the contestants on the show, though, somebody writes those questions, don't they?
But this is that gray area in television that's been a rub for years and years and years of that, in unscripted television, there is segment producing that happens through pre-interview and conversation that then gets put to paper, which, in my opinion, could constitute writing, but is not necessarily designated as writing. It's considered producing. And then all the stuff, even on this show, more than any other show, even the throws to and from commercial, which would normally be written, are not written on this show. We're just kind of interviewing the contestant, going through the questions that are there from the produced segment, and then seeing where it goes.
For those of you that haven't heard about this show, Moment of Truth, here's a little taste of how it begins.
Tonight, in this chair, the only thing that separates a person from $500,000 is 21 questions and their ability to answer these questions with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Have you ever thought that your boyfriend Jeff might be gay? Do you blame your father for tearing your family apart? Is there a part of your husband's body that repulses you? Do you really care about the starving children in Africa? Have you ever made a sexy video that you have uploaded to the internet? Have you ever forced yourself to throw up after eating to avoid gaining weight?
Do fat people repulse you?
I may actually throw up right now.
Now, Mark, one thing that is a hallmark of your television career is
that I help America one contestant at a time.
Yes,
is that
you do.
No,
yes,
is that you like to surround yourself with desperate people who will go on television no matter how embarrassing it is. I'm referring, of course, to Temptation Island, to Joe Millionaire, to some of the other shows you've done over the years.
Antiques Roadshow, desperately hoping for a million in a
How do you get somebody to go on this show once they find out what it's about? Because I gotta let you know, man.
When I did Temptation Island, okay, this show was sort of an experiment, and nobody knew what was going on.
Right.
We do the show; it becomes this crazy hit. The couples that went on go through all this drama and trauma and everything. And I said, "Well, that was a lot of fun. We'll never do this again."
Right.
60,000 couples signed up to do the next season.
Oh my God!
This show, I mean, the promos make it sound unbelievably outrageous, and there are moments that are unbelievably outrageous,
right?
But there are a lot of moments that are really cool, and there are questions that are like that you hear and I hear and go, I can't answer that. That's the craziest question I've ever heard. But for the contestants, sometimes they're the easiest question. And so there's $500,000 on the line. People are coming out of the woodwork to be on the show, and the one thing that people have to know is this is like a carnival game that says all you got to do is knock down the three milk bottles and
it's
win.
Impossible, by the way.
And it's totally easy, but you can't.
Right.
Because here, we ask you 50 or 60 questions before you even commit to doing the show.
Right.
Right? You answer them. You've heard the questions. You just don't know the result of the polygraph. Then you go home, talk to your wife, whatever, and then you say, I think I'll go on the show. Now you come on the show. We're going to re-ask 21 of those questions you've already heard.
Oh, really?
And if you want to change your answer, you can. And you can stop at any time. It's like I'm up there going on, nothing up my sleeves. I'm just giving away money. Just tell the truth. And yet,
so when you say, is there a part of your husband's body that repulses you?
Well, my wife and I on that question was like, we can both name at least five on each other, and we've been married 20 years. I'm like, you know, I can tell you the five that repulse you on me alone.
Right.
So
fascinating.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk to Nick, because Nick Savastano, is that close enough, Nick?
That's exactly right. Thank you.
Great. Is it polygraphtest.com? And you are, well, give us your background. You have credentials to operate a lie detector? Is that your deal?
I do. I'm a certified polygraph examiner. Have been since
1982. Wow.
Okay. Ex-cop from Massachusetts.
Oh, good on you. Why is it we sometimes hear that lie detector tests are unreliable and can't be used as evidence in a court of law?
Well, actually, they are admissible in court. The big boogaboo about polygraph evidence in court is that judges and attorneys are afraid that the polygraph testimony can be so powerful that it's going to overcome other evidence. Now, I guess depending
really?
On who
so
you're talking to.
So they're afraid that their case against the guy and the evidence against the guy is not going to hold up if they pass this, for example. Let's say they're really guilty. And if they pass that, they're afraid that'll overcome everything else?
Well, they're afraid that it's going to overpower the other evidence
right. In
the case.
It'll be weighed more heavily.
Now, the attorneys who argue the most vociferously against polygraph are the guys that use it all the time to find out if their clients are actually lying to them.
You know, but aren't there a lot of people who are just
his wife? Did he shoot the 7-Eleven clerk? So on and so forth.
Right. There are a lot of people though who are just so terrified. Hey, I mean, I'll give you an example. Roger Clemens last night on 60 Minutes, Mike Wallace asked him, "Would you go on a lie detector test to so that we could see if you're telling the truth about not using steroids?" He's not eager to jump into that because he fears, as a lot of people would fear, that even if I'm telling the truth, somehow I might be so nervous that it might skew the results and I might appear guilty. Doesn't that happen?
No, actually not. General nervous tension doesn't affect the polygraph at all. The polygraph instrument is based strictly on human physiology. The whole polygraph technique is really based on the autonomic nervous system.
But wait a minute. You got this giant gold machine here with all the little – it's just like it looks like on TV with the little printout on the paper and everything else. I would get really nervous about what if it does find me guilty and I'm not. Then what? Doesn't that translate into physical attributes?
Well, there is general nervous tension. But again, all of those things are handled before the polygraph examination even begins. We spend a lot of time with examinees before the test even starts.
I see.
You know, a typical polygraph examination can go a couple of hours, sometimes 3 hours, depending on the issues, the complexity of the case. But we would spend at least half of that time just talking to the examinee, explaining the instrument to him, how the polygraph works, what he or she can expect. We go through all of the questions before we even attach the components.
Oh, I see.
So the examinee is very, very familiar with the polygraph and all of its functions and so on. And
there's
so
no forth. Surprises. It's not you don't
no.
jump them with something.
What about the idea that someone can beat a polygraph test?
Well, you don't beat the polygraph instrument itself. What you would have to do is beat me. Because in reality, I'm the lie detector.
Hey, easy, Nick.
That's a new show.
Beat Nick is a show I would also watch.
Fox.
With my own whips and chains, no less.
Now Fox is careful to say that your lie detector on the show is for entertainment purposes only, and I understand that. But there have to be cases where, I'm sure this has happened in the show, where you have said somebody is lying about something, and they've said, for whatever reason, no, you're wrong, I'm not lying.
It happens all the time that they say that.
Do they actually believe in their heart that they're not lying?
Well, here's what I think people are going to find when they watch the show. Because I think when you see the promo and you hear the concept, you're like, oh, you want to see, did I rob a bank? No. Oh, he was lying. He's trying to get away with something.
Then they arrest him.
Right. Yeah. Which, stay tuned. No, I'm just kidding. who knows?
They should do that with Dateline NBC. They should hook them up to the lie detector test.
I think that's for sweeps we're actually going to do, you know, to catch a predator. Moment of truth.
I like it.
But,
good idea.
We're actually just going to do the House of Representatives for sweeps, and that should be a good time.
Yeah.
But no, I think what happens is that it's not the questions where it's an actual fact from your past that you're lying about. It's not that people are trying to perpetrate a lie.
Okay.
It's the subjective things that you don't know your own truth. So if I said to you, if let's say you've got four siblings, and I say, you know, are you the best looking of your brothers? And you go, no. But in your truth, you really do think that, then you get caught in a lie. So there are times where people go, no, honest to God, that's not true for me. And so my response always is, well, why do you think the polygraph said it was a lie? Because it's pretty black and white. It's almost mathematical the way the polygraph determines a question. It's either going to say that it's inconclusive, and then we don't use that question.
Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Nick.
No, you're right.
Or it's going to say that you are truthful, or it's going to say that this answer was deceptive. So if it registers deceptive, then something's funky.
Nick, have you ever had it register deceptive and it not be? Have you ever been able to counterprove what it says?
No.
No.
Is the short answer. It has never come to me, it has never been brought to my attention that a test has been blown and proven that way. Now, as you mentioned before, people, of course, deny, your machine is full of beans and I didn't, I didn't lie on that and so on and so forth. There's a lot of denials, but it's never come to me that I've actually... blown it. Now, I'm sure I have. I'm human.
Right.
The polygraph instrument is 97%. Well, I'm only 97% accurate. Mistakes happen. There is a margin of inaccuracy there. But to answer your, and it's sort of a long way to answer your question, but no, it's never been brought to my attention.
Now, for the show, you have $500,000.
That's right.
How do you deal with that? If they say that's not true, your machine, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
you just rule by the polygraph?
Here's the thing about polygraph, regardless of how you feel. Obviously, Nick feels very confident about polygraph, and there are people that will say it's completely
But he could
bogus.
Be lying.
He could
you ever
be
think
lying.
About that?
He's
not hooked
I
up
did
right
think
now.
About that. He's never been hooked up. But, the way I look at it is, personally, would I want my personal life in the legal forum decided by a polygraph? I'm not so sure. But if I know that this is a function of a gameplay, and I'm not bringing $500,000 of my own money to the table, I'm going to go to try to win $500,000 and play this game that's based on this machine that we know is somewhere, depending on your statistics, 92 to 97% accurate. And the game is, you got to just tell the truth.
Right.
Right? I think that's good fun.
It is. It's great. It's going to be great television. Now, are you eliminated if you are caught in a lie on one of the questions? Oh, you are. That's it. That's end of game, right?
Here's one of the things I dig about the show is you don't reach a threshold and you keep – it's not soft in that sense. So every question is peril. You have all the options. You don't have to go to the next question. You can stop any time.
Do you get lesser amount of money?
Well –
Or none.
As you earn on the way, you've got 21 questions to $500,000.
Right.
Six questions get you $10,000. Five more gets you $25,000. Four more gets $100,000, and then it starts to get really interesting. But so you're at $100,000, and you've answered 15 questions.
Right.
Right? You only need three more to get $200,000, but any question, you're back to zero.
There's no guaranteed like
this. No.
Like millionaire.
Any question, you're back to zero.
You should call this 21 questions. That's never been done.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. the show Moment of Truth does not debut until January 23rd, by the way. I don't know that we're going to be able to wait that long. I think there's going to be rioting in the streets to get this thing on the air as soon as possible. 9 o'clock on Fox. We're going to take a break. Nick Savastano is here. He is polygraphtest.com. He's the lie detector expert and, of course, the host of the show, Mark Wahlberg. When we come back, we're going to bring our little Mexican friend in, right? Is that the plan?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Dave, the King of Mexico.
I can't wait to see what happens.
Oh, my God.
They have told us that he has slept with Miss Double D, Yasmin, 2006, twice over the holidays.
As crazy as that sounds,
we'll
find out the truth.
And we've had listeners call and say, give him a lie detector test.
Where's the proof is what the listeners are saying.
And we're going to do that.
Right now, we got a full house in the K-Rock studio. Host Mark L. Wahlberg from The Moment of Truth on Fox debuts Wednesday night, January 23rd at 9 is here. Good morning again, Mark.
Good morning.
And your cohort in crime, Nick Savastano, is here. He is with PolygraphTest.com, and he is the lie detector expert. Who do you have hooked up there, Nick, to the lie detector test right now?
Well, we got our friend, the King of Mexico, Dave Sanchez.
Man, how is he hooked up? I see he's got a cuff on the sleeve.
Yeah, we've got a couple of pneumograph tubes on his chest and his stomach. That's going to measure changes in breathing pattern.
Okay.
What about those cables that run into his pants? Where are those?
Those are aftermarket. He brought those from home.
Oh, all right, good.
Yeah, that's optional stuff.
Yeah. Just fashion.
The finger plates measure changes in perspiration levels, and, of course, the blood pressure cuff will measure changes in heart rate and blood pressure.
Okay.
And, now Dave is going to be honest with us today, he says.
Okay.
It'll be a first. Now, Lisa brought this up a few moments ago, but I want to ask again. If somebody is really cool as a cucumber, let's say you got Clive Owen on the thing or somebody who's just impossibly cool, could he beat it by just being stoic and just having real control over his emotions?
No. I love that Clive Owen is the barometer of cool.
Right? Yeah, he is. No, is the answer.
No, okay.
If you tell a conscious lie, your body is going to respond. The polygraph instrument, of course, is designed to measure those responses, and it's going to do what
if
it's designed
to do. One last question before we ask Dave. What if a person is crazy? What if a person, like, for example, I don't know, like OJ or somebody, like, has spent so much time convincing themselves of an alternate reality? What if they believe what they're saying, but it's not true? How do you deal with that?
You know, if you find a true psychopathic personality who can convince him or herself that what they're saying is true and in reality it's not, then they'll pass the test. But the incident rate...
I think that's what Dave's done. I think he's totally just wants to believe it. And he and Yasmin got together, Miss Double D 2006, over the holidays and said, wouldn't it be funny to tell Kevin and Bean blah, 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 blah.
Well, we're about to find out. All right. So the way this is going to work, folks, Kevin, you've got the questions you're going to be asking Dave, and Nick is going to be monitoring Dave's responses. And then we'll take a break, come back, and then we'll go through question by question and find out which questions Dave is answering truthfully here.
All right. I have 9 questions, and I'm going to ask Dave the questions, and then let's see. The first question is, Dave.
Yes?
Do you really think fingerless gloves are attractive?
Hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Now, how much time do you need in between questions, Nick?
About 20 seconds.
20 seconds, okay.
Okay, give him a chance. So he does think the fingerless gloves are attractive, all right? So clearly the guy's got mental issues. Whether he's telling the truth or not, we don't know, but clearly he's delusional.
Does the tattoo on Miss Double D December 2006 Yasmin's lower back really repulse you?
Not repulse, but it's not
yes
my
or no
favorite
answer.
Part of
we
the
need
body.
Yes or no, right?
So,
yes or no?
No. Wait,
so,
wait, what was the question again?
No, it does not
does
repulse,
it repulse
you, is your answer.
Yeah, it not repulse, but
okay.
Dave,
so
yes no.
Okay.
No.
Yes or no, Dave?
All right, he's trying to weasel out, but my next question will help. So were you lying to us when you told us tattoo is a deal breaker? Super hot. We gave you example after example of super hot woman with tattoos. You said under no circumstances would I have sex with that one tattoo. Were you lying?
I guess. Yeah. No, what? No, I mean, I don't like sleeves and stuff, so...
Right, what do you do with a guy like this, Nick?
Yes or no, does he not?
What do you do with a guy
well,
like this?
Yeah, I mean, there's no yes or no answer. There's an explanation well, behind
that
it.
That is a yes or no, though. Yeah. Were you lying when you said a tattoo is a deal breaker?
Well, I never said one tattoo was a deal breaker.
Oh,
I did. I said sleeve, like, a lot of tattoos are deal breakers.
All
so.
Right.
So the answer is yes.
So correct. I guess the answer was yes. So when you say one tattoo. Even though I never said
it's
one tattoo.
The worst subject
Dave,
ever.
Dave, were you really, as you told us in the office... not surprised when Yasmin came on to you.
I wasn't surprised.
You really saw that coming? It didn't surprise you?
Yes.
Yes, it didn't, or no,
you
it did
were,
not.
I asked that point.
Well, yeah.
Were you not really not surprised?
Yes, I was really not surprised.
Son of a bitch.
Again, delusional.
Did you use, as Miss Double December Yasmin told us... a Magnum condom.
Certainly not all of it.
Yes.
As a joke?
No.
We just broke the machine.
Have you slept with supermodel receptionist Janelle?
No.
Okay, good.
Yet.
Yeah.
The follow-up question, yet.
Have you slept with Victoria's Secret supermodel Alessandro Ambrosio?
Only in my dreams, man.
Okay, nope. No. Two more questions. Did you really have sex with Yasmin, Miss Double December 2006, over the recent holiday?
Hell yeah. Yes.
Last question.
All right.
Twice? Twice?
Yes or no?
Twice?
Time out.
Yes or no? Yes, twice? No, twice.
In his defense, rephrase it. More than once.
Yes.
All right, because twice would be wrong if you did it 3 times.
Yeah.
Right.
Say more than once.
More than once.
Yes.
Now, Nick knows. Nick's smiling at me. He's got the results already.
Okay,
I've never seen Nick blush.
Look at that chart.
That chart.
It's off. Look at that.
It's like a 9.3 on the Richter scale.
It does. It looks exactly like an earthquake report.
It was the Magnum condom that did it.
That was the question that sent it crazy?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to find out the answers.
I don't know how it works with the turtleneck, but maybe you just need a bigger condom for that, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
He wrapped it around his hip
for a bigger burrito, dude.
Let's just wait and see what the answer is.
Okay.
Before we try to figure out how it works.
You know you're not supposed to go in feet first in those condoms.
Right?
I keep telling you, no. Different Mark Wahlberg here in the studio of the world famous
Mark, people ever go back to the joke trying to be funny?
You know, the smaller the market, the more those jokes come out. But
yeah, you expect better than that when you come in your hometown, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know.
Moment of Truth, Wednesday, January 23rd at 9. Mark is the host. Nick Savastano is here, too, operating the lie detector test. Go to polygraphtest.com for Nick's services. And if you just joined us, we just had Dave, the King of Mexico, hooked up to the lie detector. And Kevin asked a series of questions that we are now going to revisit. And then our lie detector expert, Nick, is going to tell us whether Dave was, in fact, telling us the truth or not.
All right, so I'll read the question and his answer. And then you tell us what that shows you. Number one, do you really think fingerless gloves are attractive? He said, hell yeah.
He does.
Oh, yeah. Man.
One for one.
All right. Does the tattoo on Yasmin's back really repulse you?
He says no, but it does.
Oh!
So that's a lie.
Wait,
he said no.
He said no.
But it does repulse
him. But it does repulse him.
Okay, so
he was lying.
You know what? He was saying no because he didn't want to offend her, I imagine. Right?
Yeah.
Because he's hoping for more. Yeah. All right, number three, were you lying to us when you said you wouldn't sleep with a girl who had a tattoo? Yes is the answer.
And that's true.
Okay, that's true.
That is
true. He was lying. Okay. And here's one that I just find hard to believe, but because this will show that he's crazy. But were you really not surprised when Yasmin, Miss Double December 2006, came on to you over the holidays?
Dave says no, but in reality, he was shocked.
He was shocked.
Not even close.
Liar. This is good news because that answer proves that you're not delusional.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
You should be happy about that.
No, it's true.
Right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Dave, hold on. If you weren't surprised, then everything else is off the board.
Right. Right. Exactly. King, let's stop and discuss for a moment here. You had to have been surprised. You're Dave and she's Yasmin. There's no shame in admitting that you're pulling three or four numbers above where you ought to be pulling with
her. You just don't know, Bean. You just don't know.
No, but Nick does.
We do, yeah.
Nick knows.
Yeah, right. And now we know.
He's known this woman for 2 years, and now all of a sudden in the last 2 weeks, it's that would be a surprise to anybody.
Oh, I should have asked him if it ever happened before this holiday. Didn't think about that.
I don't think so.
All right, number five.
That's like pitching Little League and getting called up to the show is what that is.
That's exactly what it is.
Thank you, Mark.
Is the Dodgers called you, Dave. That's what it was.
Yeah, I'm not saying you don't throw the heat.
It was a Disney movie, Dave. Thanks. Great. That makes it real.
The rookie.
Magnum condom, which Miss Double D told us, you said yes.
No shot.
What are you talking about?
There is no shot.
I would go back and bring them.
I don't want you to buy anything.
That's just a lie then.
You know,
you're
lying. There's a little
liar.
Hook in here. There's a little hook in here.
What does that mean?
He may have used a Magnum condom, but it sure didn't fit.
Okay, good.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I used them.
Supermodel awesome. Receptionist Janelle, the answer was no.
True.
Excellent.
Damn it. Why can't it be wrong on that one?
Victoria's Supermodel Alessandro Ambrosio, he said no.
That's true.
Excellent. All right, the final two. Did you have sex with Yasmin, Miss Double, December 2006? Said yes.
There are six guys in this room. One of us had sex with that woman.
Oh, he did. God.
It wasn't me.
Oh. Was it you, Mark?
It was not me. Okay. I'm very well aware what my league is.
Dave is a lucky dog.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly is. Look at that.
He's told the truth.
And there's your proof, listeners.
Final question, more than once. The answer from Dave was yes.
True.
Son of a bitch!
Oh, wow. Woo!
So it wasn't just one drunken night over the holidays. It was, as Yasmin told us, repeat business. Even when she was sober, she consented to have sex with Dave on purpose.
Wow.
And over and over. Wow.
Now we have to believe him, don't we? Because we brought Nick in. We did the whole lie detector test.
Wow.
Does this mean we can no longer, you know, doubt him? Is this like Kevin Smith, the decider, where now it has to be assumed that it was true?
Well, it does, right? I think this is proof enough. I think for me, I mean, Nick knows his business, 97% accurate, for God's sakes. It sounds like it really happened. Hey, Dave, how many times over this past weekend did you and Yasmin do this?
A couple times.
A couple more times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously, though.
Do you know the throngs of boys out there cheering, saying, there's hope for me yet.
Oh, no,
there's
I know.
Hope.
That's right.
Listen, besides the fact that Dave lies to us a lot, good for you.
Hey, yeah. Nick.
Good on you.
Thank you. No game. Works.
Oh, dear God. I didn't have time to ask about the no game game. All right. Well, Nick, you've done us a great disservice by proving that Dave was telling the truth. That hurts. But you're going to be using your lie detector on Moment of Truth. The TV show is on Fox Wednesday, January 23rd, hosted by Mark Wahlberg. And it's people's chance to win $500,000. How do they get on the show if they want?
The contestant search. Check Fox.com, I guess, would be the best thing to do.
You don't know, do you? Are you on the show?
I have no idea. I just show up, dude.
Okay, All right. Thanks for coming in, guys. We appreciate it. Dave? Thanks.
Thank you.
You lucky dog.
Yeah!
Apparently, what I should have known to ask Dave was, have you had sex with Yasmin, Miss Double December 2006, more than, say, 10 times?
Yeah, apparently.
do. Didn't realize that.
Dave no longer sits on a throne of lies, I guess. Now it's official. He's passed the lie detector test. Unbelievable.
Well, he's passed that one question. That Magnum thing was BS. Should be embarrassed.
He lied about that.
Yeah.
But who cares? I mean, when it comes down to that question, he wins.
I better get the biggest eyes. Is he walking around Rite Aid just going up and down
Do
the
you have
miles?
Anything bigger?
I better get the big one.
That's too small.
I'd be embarrassed to get my real size and go to the desk where I have to pay for it.
It's 8:53 Monday morning. Your chance to go join us for the Breakfast with Foo Fighters coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. National Treasure, Book of Secrets, Nick Cage movie. Still number one after 3 weeks in theaters. $20.2 million made it so. I Am Legend was number two at the box office. $16.4 million just nudged out Juno. Came in at number three. Alvin and the Chipmunks were number four. One Missed Call, horror movie that when your cell phone goes to voicemail, then you die.
Hey, that could happen, man. Don't mock.
Dumbest idea.
I appreciate your tone.
$13.5 million made it number five. Charlie Wilson's War was number six. And you got Tom Hanks,
yep.
Julia Roberts, and yep. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Who are great.
Who else do you need in a movie than those three?
Written by Aaron Sorkin, who's a great writer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
P.S. I Love You, number seven. The Water Horse, Legend of the Deep, number eight. Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street, number nine. Atonement, number 10 at the box office this weekend, according to Daily Variety. Eddie Murphy and his wife, Tracy Edmonds. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say wife?
You did.
That girl he went to the South Pacific with and had that commitment ceremony. Yeah. Apparently, they're not legally wed.
Ooh.
Turns out they have to come back to the United States and actually have a real ceremony before it'll all be legal.
Does she know that?
I don't know if she knows it or not.
That'd be awesome. I think he was just trying to pull the wool over her eyes like that.
Yeah,
let's go down to the...
I know Eddie Money is famous and rich. And
you mean Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy is, too.
Eddie Murphy, right. Yeah. What did I say? Did I say Eddie Money?
Eddie Money,
yeah. I know Eddie Murphy has all those things. I understand why a woman would be attracted. But, Lisa, wouldn't you have reservations about marrying a guy who would treat Scary Spice the way he did, knock her up, and then refuse to acknowledge the baby and never even meet the baby and all that?
Absolutely, 100%. But then
that would
look
be a deal breaker.
Phil Spector, who got married. I mean, there's always someone who will volunteer.
Who will marry a famous person. Effing bitch.
All right, Dr. Phil, easy.
I left my Tom Cruise story on the printer, I think.
Oh. Hey, bring in the Tom Cruise story on the printer. Oh, like you're listening.
Yeah. If there's anybody in the office, can you go to the printer, turn off the Arbitron alarm first, then go to the printer and get me my Tom Cruise story that I printed out?
Is this all about the Scientology book, the Andrew Morton book?
I got some excerpts from the new unauthorized biography by Andrew Morton, the guy who did biographies on... let's see who else. He did...
Didn't you Princess Di?
Princess Diana. So, yeah. Monica Lewinsky. He's an infamous... biographer.
Is he considered accurate?
Well, the people who knew Princess Diana said he had a lot of revelations in his book that were actually true. So he got that one right, if nothing else. But Tom Cruise, an unauthorized biography, is set to hit stores on the 15th of this month. And there's quite a few bombs that Andrew drops. As you can imagine, he touches on Tom's marriage to Nicole Kidman. He talks about his daughter, Suri, talks about his relationship with Penelope Cruz. Some fascinating things in this book.
How close was he able to get to Tom Cruise's inner circle, though? Did he talk to a lot of the people that really do know him?
It doesn't say here what his research was. Okay. But the excerpts come from the Daily Mail, which is a newspaper in Great Britain. Of course, as you can imagine, most of the book centers on Cruise's practice of Scientology.
Sure.
The book goes as far as to say that the actor consults David Miscavige, who is the leader of that religion, on nearly every aspect of his life, which is a little bizarre.
Every aspect of his life?
Yeah.
Okay.
The book claims that the recruitment of David Beckham and Posh Spice is Cruise's current mission for the church.
Uh-oh.
This project's been in works as far back as 2004, apparently, when Cruise took Miscavige to watch Beckham play for Real Madrid. So they've been working on this guy for some time now.
Apparently, he's got a lot of money.
While Cruise was dating, again, according to this book, while Cruise was dating Penelope Cruz, his co-star in Vanilla Sky, her father, Eduardo, was so concerned that his daughter was being drawn into the cult of Scientology that he contacted an organization devoted to helping cult members and their families just in case.
Oh, no.
He got a commando team ready to spring her in case anything went bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Scientologists were worried that Nicole Kidman's Catholic faith and her father's work as a psychologist would compromise Cruz's belief in Scientology, so they took steps to separate them and destroy the marriage.
Is that right? That's why the marriage broke up?
How about that?
Because Scientology wanted it to break up?
How about that? But the best tidbit from this book, by far, is the allegation, again, this is according to Andrew Morton, author of this book, that sperm from Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard may have been used to inseminate Katie Holmes.
Yeah!
And give birth to Suri Cruz.
That's so icky.
A little frozen L. Ron juice.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he's not saying that happened. He's saying there are those who suspect it. Right, Ralph?
Why do you have to just mess
it up with the facts?
Wonderfulness. Why do you have to squat and just unleash on everything that's good?
Well, he couldn't have a kid with Nicole, so that's why everybody's a little surprised when this.
So you go into the freezer, you pull out the ice cube tray with some Elrond in it.
Pull out a little Elrond ice.
That's what I'm saying.
All right,
Elrond on the rocks, and plink plink.
That's the best.
Next thing you know, plink plink. That's the ice cubes clinking together.
Wow. Yeah.
How great is that?
That's great.
I want that to be true.
I do
so
too.
Much.
Let's just take for granted that's true.
Yeah, well, we would. Jeff Bean wasn't busy all day.
Well,
just
looking for clarification.
Everything.
Hey, guy who wants the truth.
That's us. We're CNN, Bean. You know, we're the last word in facts when it comes to everything. I got tickets to give away.
Do it.
All right, I will. It is a very special K-Rock screening of a movie called Cloverfield. I've been looking forward to this movie ever since I saw the teaser trailer with the head of the Statue of Liberty rolling down Fifth Avenue in New York City. Apparently a monster's attacking Manhattan, and you get to see it from the point of view of the people who are actually going through it, which is a really ingenious idea, the way you should movie, all that handheld camcorder stuff. J.J. Abrams is the producer. He's our pal, of course, who is one of the producers of Lost. Created Alias, one of our favorite TV shows. It all happens Thursday, January the 17th at The Grove. Great place to see a movie. I've got two pairs of passes, the last pairs of the day, and I want to give them away to a real fan of J.J. Abrams' work. So here's a little trivia question for you. J.J. started out as a writer before he became a director and a producer.
True.
That is true. Yes, Kevin.
Okay.
What was the name of his first screenplay that was successfully produced? It happened in 1990. I'll give you that much of a hint. What was the first movie J.J. wrote that got produced back in 1990?
Night at the Roxbury.
Tough question.
What's that?
Night at the Roxbury.
No, sir, it was not Night at the Roxbury. You know, his second film was a movie called Regarding Henry.
Oh,
did you see that?
With
Harrison
Ford? Yes. Harrison Ford, yeah.
Mike Nichols directed about a vicious kind of a-hole lawyer who has a head injury and becomes like a sweet simpleton.
Yeah, that's right.
I loved
right.
that movie, and I had no idea J.J. Wrote that until I did a little research. So call in now if you know the answer, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers with the correct answer win a pair of tickets to go see Cloverfield, which I will be there. You'll see me there.
Looks good.
I'll pull the popcorn trick on you if you come up to me.
Yeah.
Today's
guys.
Today's celebrity birthdays. David Caruso, actor, star of CSI Miami. He is 52 years old today. Nicolas Cage, another actor, 44 years old today, star of the number one movie in America right now. Dustin Diamond, who played Screech on Saved by the Bell. And also stars in Saved by the Smell.
Yes, he does.
Unfortunately.
His own personal sex tape. You can pick that up everywhere. He is.
But we can vouch for the fact that you don't want to do that.
He is 31 years old today. I don't think you really want to. Kathy Valentine, bassist for the Go-Go's, turns 49. Kelly Couric, news anchor, is 51 years old today. And Sammo Hung. Sammo Hung, who played Sammo Law in Martial Law, the TV series.
That wasn't his name.
His character's name was Sammo Law because he was a martial artist, and his character's last name was Law, so
sure.
He was Martial Law.
I can't believe Scott Cranford didn't write that.
Wow. That's hard to believe. Happy birthday, Sammo Hung.
Wow.
He's 56. Do we have an answer to my trivia question yet?
Yes, we do. Let's go to Frank in Anaheim. Good morning, Frank.
Morning.
Frank, what was J.J. Abrams' first produced screenplay?
Taking Care of Business.
Taking Care of Business, starring Jim Belushi, yes, in 1990. How far J.J. has come from the Jim Belushi comedy Taking Care of Business all the way up to Cloverfield, which comes out in a couple of weeks. Congratulations. You're going to see a special screening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
See you there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How pity you people.
9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Have to work with Bean.
Okay, not yet, Mr. T, not yet. Here's the deal. One 1 week from this morning, next Monday, we're going to be having breakfast with a little band you may have heard of called the Foo Fighters. Now, let's face it. They're almost the biggest band in the world, if they're not the biggest. And they are going to be at the Troubadour with us. You're going to be asking the questions. They're going to be answering the questions. They're going to be performing live on the air. Plus, we're going to throw in some...
I don't think we've mentioned the Troubadour.
We did now.
I was told that it was okay to say because it's at krock.com. No? Okay. Wrong?
All right. Just check it.
All right. And we'll also throw in tickets for their upcoming forum show to March, which is March the 6th. As you know, March 5th already sold out. March 6th going on sale this weekend. So you win tickets to that show and tickets to our show if you call right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a new game we like to call I Pity the Foo.
On Monday, January 14th, 2008, a crack commando unit of musicians will be forced to have breakfast with Kevin and Bean for a crime they didn't commit. These three men will not be able to escape from a maximum security performance in a tiny Los Angeles venue. If you'd like to attend the show, and no one else can help, and if you can win tickets, maybe you can come to Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
I Pity the Foo.
Mr. T, welcome.
Love your jibber jabber.
I just said,
give away some tickets.
I just said welcome. That's all I said. Well, how does that be jibber? How is that jibber jabber?
My prediction:
pain. Right now, Mr. T, your show was on back in the '80s, the A Team. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But are you really still walking around everywhere telling people that you pity the fool?
I do pity the fool. Okay. I pity the fool who asked me that question.
All right. Now, can you explain what the listeners have to come up with here, please?
I hope so.
Mr. T.
This is a very painful voice to do. So I hope I don't blow up my throat doing it.
You hope we get a winner soon, is what you're saying.
I'll be asking you a question, fool, and the answer will be foo. Foo.
Okay, so foo is in the answer.
That's correct.
Fool?
No, not foo. Foo.
Foo.
Stop your jibber jabber.
As in Foo Fighters.
Foo.
Okay. All right. I think I understand. So
Foo will be in the answer someplace.
Okay.
Foo.
I think we got it.
Foo.
1-800-520-1067. So we're going to take as many calls as we have time for, and then we'll just do a drawing and find out who wins, or does everybody get tickets? What's the answer on that?
I don't know.
I think due to the fact that we're running a little bit late and Mr. T's voice might go out.
Hannibal, what's the answer?
And we have three pair left. Let's just take the first three to get them right.
Okay.
First three winners win?
Yep. All right. Mr. T, please say hello to your first contestant. He is Daniel from Monrovia, and he's on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hello, Daniel from Monrovia.
You ready, Daniel?
Yes.
All right, I pity the foo. Here's your question.
Warner Brothers has announced that they're making a big movie remake of the 1970s TV series about the adventures of a Shaolin monk in the Wild West. What's the name?
Come
on. He used to know martial arts. He knew martial arts, the Shaolin monk.
Foo fighting?
Foo fighting.
I pity the fool. I pity this fool.
Wait a minute. You think that there was a TV series in the 70s called the Foo Fighters?
I was born in the 70s, okay? So I don't know.
No, that doesn't make any difference. All right. Thank you, Daniel.
Foo fighting.
What's the answer, Mr. T?
Kung Fu.
Kung Fu.
Kung Fu. Series.
Maybe. Perhaps you've heard of it, Daniel.
Yeah, I deserve that one.
Yeah. No, you weren't born then, Daniel.
No, you weren't born. You can't know Kung Fu.
Right. Yeah. How do you know about George Washington? You weren't even born when he was president.
Wow.
All right. Let's try Octavio Pico Rivera. Octavio, how's it going?
How's it going, Kevin?
Good.
Hello.
What's wrong with Bean? Why are you talking jibber jabber?
He's not feeling well today.
Hey.
All right, here's your question for Mr. T. Mr. T's laughing. Hold on.
How's your voice holding up, Mr. T?
Hold on a second. All right. This fictional Chinese villain, introduced in 1913, wore a long, drooping mustache, and it's been named after him ever since.
All right, what's the answer?
What was the last part I didn't hear?
What'd you say?
He said, what was the last part I didn't hear you?
This fictional Chinese villain had a long, droopy mustache, and that has been named after him ever since.
What's the answer?
Young?
Foo Young.
Foo Young.
No.
Is it Foo Young, Mr. T?
No, it's not Foo Young.
What is it?
I pity the foo. It's a Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu. There you go.
Fu Manchu had a long mustache.
Thanks for the call.
So you're saying Fu Manchu mustache.
The first three contestants that get the answer right, they get the tickets?
We could be here past 10.
All right. Molly in Riverside. Good morning.
Good morning.
Molly is a student at UC Riverside. Mr. T, what's the question?
Molly, this line of sportswear was named after the phrase that it is for us, by us.
FUBU.
Yes, FUBU. Nicely done.
I don't pity you.
You're going to be at the breakfast next Monday.
Oh, my God, that's wonderful.
Way to go, Molly. We'll see you then. Hold on. All right, let's go to what is your name, Shania?
Shania Lee.
Shania.
Shania Lee.
In Southgate. Yeah. All right, Mr. All right. T.
This acronym is commonly used when someone believes something is fouled up beyond all repair or recognition.
Oh, shoot. Oh, you got me there.
Mr. T?
Oh.
Fubar.
For my breakfast?
Fubar.
Yes.
Fouled up beyond all repair.
Yeah.
Or recognition. Yeah. Fubar.
Do you pity the foo, Mr. T?
I pity the foo. Pity the foo who don't know that.
All right, Jamie in Riverside. Good morning.
Good morning.
Here's Mr. T.
Oh, this is going to be a good one. All right, Jamie, this movie is your only chance to see Patrick Swayze in a dress unless you go to Rage on Saturday night.
Oh, gosh.
It's a movie where Patrick Swayze wore a dress.
Has foo in the name of it.
Foo. And John Leguizamo also wore a dress. And that black dude. What's his name? Wesley Snipes. Wore a dress. They all wore dresses.
Mr. T, how do you not come up with that?
I forget some all black right. guys.
Jamie?
I don't know.
It's called Tu Wong Fu.
Oh, man.
Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar, but we'd have accepted Tu Wong Fu.
Thank you for the call.
We'd be desperate.
Let's go to Lucas in Fullerton. Good morning, Lucas.
Hey, good morning.
Lucas! This hardcore DC punk band had their biggest hit with Waiting Room.
Okay, you can't really say that.
I'm sorry.
Can't say that. You're gonna make a guess.
Oh, man, I have no idea.
Mr. T?
Fugazi.
Fugazi.
Yeah. Fugazi, oh sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel now, Lucas?
Pity the fool. Don't know Fugazi.
Mr. T, didn't you used to drive a cab in D.C., if I remember correctly, from one of your big motion pictures?
D.C. cab.
That's right.
That's good, B.
Nicely done. All right, listen, we only have time for one more, even though we've only had one.
We only have one more question.
Okay, good. That works out fine. Tiffany in Costa Mesa. Good morning.
My throat hurts.
Morning.
Tiffany, how have you been doing so far listening on hold to the other contestants who have been failing miserably?
God, I've been doing pretty good. I'm hoping that I get this one because I've gotten like most of them right.
Mr. T,
we're hoping you get this one too.
Mr. T, how do you do that voice your whole life and now you do it for like 5 minutes and it's hurting you?
Because I had my tonsils out.
I see. When?
This morning.
All right, this morning. Okay.
Get the lie detector back in here.
Here's your question, Tiffany.
All right. Tiffany, this table game has a German name, which is why it's not called Little Gay Spinning Soccer Dudes.
Spinning soccer dudes. What?
It's a table game. Table game.
Table game.
With gay little spinning soccer dudes that you spin, and they're gay little soccer dudes.
And it has foo in its name, Tiffany.
It's a table game. You play it on a table like an arcade.
And what are the soccer players?
Someone's rumpus room.
What do the soccer players do, Mr. T?
They spin.
Yes.
Foosball!
Foosball!
Oh, yeah!
You must have got some help because you didn't have any idea 30 seconds ago.
Oh, I just force-fed you that. Mr. T force-fed you that answer.
Yes, he did.
She went from, that's the stupidest question I've ever heard, to, of course I know that one.
All right, Tiffany, we'll see you next Monday.
I love you guys. We
hate
you
all. I pity the fool.
First, the strangest story of the day, and I'm sure you've heard a lot about this, but it's one of those stories that it's not really possible to get your head around. You can hear all the details and go, I still don't get why Dr. Phil showed up at Cedars-Sinai to, quote, take Britney home.
Nope.
Well,
what sense does that make?
There are two options. One is that he is genuinely concerned with the young woman's health and state of being and thought he could really help. That's one option.
Okay.
But the truth is that he's a fame-grubbing whore and looked at it as an opportunity to promote himself, his brand, and maybe get her an exclusive interview on his TV show.
Yeah, I don't think we knew about that until he raced home and put out a press release. And then at that point we said, oh, boy. Wow. All right, good.
That's the kind of therapist I want.
So let's say good morning to Dr. Phil. Hi, Dr. Phil.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
No.
No, not Mr. T. Dr. Phil is who we need now.
What? I pity the fool.
Is Dr. Phil around there?
Hold a second. Let me get him. Phil, phone's for you.
All right.
Wow.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Are you hanging out with Mr. T?
I gave him a job. He's my receptionist now.
Wow.
Oh, okay. He said his voice hurts when he does that.
I can believe it. Sounds painful.
Now, Dr. Phil, you showed up at Cedars-Sinai.
I did.
For what reason?
Because I want to help Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a girl who's suffering.
Is it?
And I think she needs someone to say, hey, stop it. Cut it out. Stop being such a crazy nutloaf.
But she didn't ask you to come to her hospital room at Cedars-Sinai. You just took it upon yourself to show up uninvited, right?
I am like Batman. I go where I'm needed.
You are?
If I see a crime being committed, I just race off in the Philmobile, and I just show up.
And you solve crime?
No, I help people with mental illness.
Okay. Okay, but Dr. Phil, if you were there to help her, why do you then race home and put out a press release? And why are you trying to get her on a TV show to talk about her problems? Doesn't she need some sort of quiet, safe place that she can be where she's not in front of a camera for once in her life?
Because we all know the only place that can really help anyone is on television.
Yeah.
That's where all of life's problems are solved. What is wrong with you?
So not in the privacy of a therapist's office or psychiatrist?
No, get on television and just get it all fixed. Don't you watch my show?
No, not really.
Well, I'm fixing people every day here, people. I'm saving lives.
What would you do with Brittany? How would you even begin to fix her?
I would hit her.
What?
Right in the back of the head with like a gardening trowel.
How would that help? Doesn't even sound ethical.
Couldn't hurt.
Really? It doesn't sound ethical? Is that up for question?
Bit. I saw it Gilligan's Island once. Gilligan got hit in the head with a coconut. It straightened him right out.
Okay.
Once again, TV solves all of life's problems.
I see. All right. So, according to TMZ.com, Brittany's mom asked you to show up. Brittany wasn't aware of it.
I was talking with the Spearses about appearing on the show.
Right.
And Lynn said to me, maybe you should stop by and see Brittany.
Okay, now.
And I said, what are they serving? And they said it was meatloaf day, so I decided to go. I love the meatloaf at Cedars.
You like the meatloaf at Cedars-Sinai Hospital?
Yeah, it's good. Huh. I just go through the hallways taking people's food.
Now,
I have a diet book, but I'm fat.
It's true.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah.
According,
the joke's better if you know the character.
According to the story, according to your story, I should say, you spent an hour with Brittany.
I sat with her for an hour, and we had an excellent talk.
And then escorted her out to her car.
I did. I took her by the arm. And we strolled through the parking lot.
According to TMZ.com, it was more of a 15 minutes. She was very angry that you were there.
She walked out alone. Hold on. 15 minutes?
Yes.
I guess it all depends how you judge time.
By a clock?
Sure. Oh, a clock.
Yeah. But what TMZ is suggesting is that maybe it wasn't a heartfelt, interactive conversation for an hour. It was really just you yelling at her for 15 minutes while she packed up her stuff to get the hell out of the hospital and away from you.
That has therapeutic value.
What does?
Yelling.
Okay, but you said
you are as crazy as a toad sitting on a hot plate.
Right.
So I said to her.
Okay, but
I think it helped.
You just said you had a good conversation for an hour.
You're skipping like an old photograph record that has scratches in it. Crazy girl.
These are some of your red-hot Texas analogies?
These are some of my words of wisdom.
Okay. I see. According to TMZ, you didn't walk out arm in arm with her. She went out some tunnel but went out by herself. That's what we're told.
She tunneled.
She didn't tunnel. There was some back way, some celebrity.
Yes, she tunneled out of the hospital, yes, and I followed her through.
Okay, but you
clearing
didn't...
the dirt behind her.
Okay. So were you arm in arm or were you not arm in arm?
Well, I grabbed her ankle. As she ran.
I think what we're saying, Dr. Phil, and please don't take this wrong, is just stop it. Just stop inviting yourself into other people's personal problems. If somebody contacts the Dr. Phil show and they want to go on the show and they want to be there with you, that's fine.
But don't go ratings, God damn it.
But don't go chasing people and dragging them unwillingly onto your show, okay?
I need ratings. Okay. I need her to come on the show.
But doesn't it seem like she needs serious help at this point?
Whatever. Whatever with her. She has to come on the show so I can get big numbers.
Mm.
I have to please Oprah. I need to please the God of Oprah. If I don't start delivering, she's going to take my nuts.
Has she been upset with you lately?
Yes. Oh. Numbers have been dropping.
I see.
And Oprah, you don't want Oprah's people waking you up in the middle of the night, flashlight in your face, a knife at your throat, saying you better get your ratings up. You don't want that, mister.
Oprah's people do that?
No.
No, all right. So you're just using Brittany, then? That's what you just want to get Brittany on the program.
Why not? Everyone else is. Why shouldn't Phil get a piece?
Well, it seems like now, of all times, you being a doctor, supposedly, you know, now it seems like it's a pretty serious situation.
Doctor, I got my degree in, like, Mexico or someplace, like the Bahamas. It barely even counts.
Wait a minute. Mexico or the Bahamas?
What's that country below us? Canada?
Mexico.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. All right. All right. I do remember, however, that you were in K-Fed and Brittany's life momentarily. Weren't you supposedly, like, counseling them or something?
I did counsel them. That's why I wanted to help. I wanted to extend my hand and help friendshipness. Because K-Fed and I are still tight.
You are?
We're still bros.
Okay. Did K-Fed ask you to show up and help?
No, but I feel for him and for the kids, so I wanted to help out the baby's mama as much as possible.
I see. So you're still close with K-Fed?
Absolutely.
Are you still singing together? I know you guys did that one song.
Yeah, our new CD's dropping in about a month.
Is it really?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What's the name of the CD?
Called, sorry you asked me that.
Would you mind if... we went and dug up the song that you did with K-Fed. Would you mind if we played it?
Hell no.
Okay, here you go.
I don't know, Kevin. I'm not much of a rapper.
Oh, come on, Dr. Phil. You know what I'm saying? Hip-hop comes from within.
Well, I do have a lot of heart. All right, I'll give it a try. Let's see how it sounds.
We're two peas in a pod. We live off women.
If money is the juice,
a female is the lemon.
Gotta squeeze to get what you need. Two coattailing douchebags fueled by greed.
Well, they call me Dr. Phil. I give bad advice. I got my head in Oprah's ass like a board in a vice.
And I'm K-Fed. Brittany pays my bills. I moved from Fresno to the Hollywood Hills.
Coming out of Texas, like George W., my lack of compassion just might trouble you. Getting a divorce or your mother should die. I'll charge you lots of money, then tell you not to cry.
I'm a dope-smoking wigger with a white trash flare. Pants around my ankles, braids in my hair.
What is your problem? That's my catchphrase.
I got the IQ of a monkey in a cage. I bang a fat hoe. Her name is Brittany.
I brown nose a black bitch named Oprah Winfrey. We're both parasites of rich fat ladies.
Brittany bought my Benz.
Oprah paid for my Mercedes.
Book of the month club, illegitimate kids. Whatever it takes to make it in showbiz. Like it or not, you gotta give us credit.
We keep our hoes in check.
Damn straight.
You said it.
We're two peas in a pod. We live off women. If money is the juice,
a female is the lemon.
Gotta squeeze to get what you need. Two coattailing douchebags fueled by greed.
See, Dr. Phil, I told you could flow. Damn.
Well, hot damn. I'm pretty pleased with myself, and I think Oprah's gonna be glad I sound so Negro.
What do you have to say about that?
Booyakah!
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
If you were unable to hear us for a while... More than usual, or should I say less than usual?
Yes.
It's because our transmitter went out. For some reason, we were on our backup transmitter. Our transmitter, a very, very powerful 7 watts.
are we back up now? Are we in
supposedly
full
yes.
effect right now?
Supposedly. Okay. We're back to 7 watt full effect.
Woohoo!
Okay. Most radio stations in the city are 50, 60, 70,000. K-Rock 7, normally, 4 backup transmitter. We were on the backup transmitter for about an hour and a half.
Oh, that's what sounded great.
So we really need to thank anyone who's putting up with this BS because...
my microwave has more power than this radio station does.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800...
If any consolation at all, the last hour of the show wasn't that good.
Wasn't very good, right?
No.
Okay, exactly. Well, then we just tell them it was awesome.
Exactly.
You guys really missed some good stuff. 1-800-520-1067 is the number.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Give us a call, get on the air, get a prize, and today it's a pair of tickets for you to Universal Studios Hollywood. You know, right now, guys, for the price of a single day, you get all of 2008 for free. And that, my friends, is a pretty good deal.
That's
sure
deal.
Is.
You know, it's a great place to take people who come to visit you if you live in Southern California. People come from your hometown or whatever to come see you.
Yep.
You can burn a whole day there at the Universal.
It's true.
Yeah, time. Sure.
Let's start with, did we just lose Philip in Westminster?
Yep.
He was calling about American Gladiators last night,
which I
saw some of.
I got to tell you.
I'm going to see it tonight. I want to watch the rest tonight.
After watching football over the weekend on NBC and seeing 7 million promos for it, I was out before it ever came.
You're insane. That's one of the greatest shows ever on television.
I had so no interest. They got people up there with giant sticks fighting each other named... I don't know what the
thunder
hell they're stupid
and
thunder
turbo
and lightning and turbo. Shut up.
Gay porn.
What is wrong with you people?
My favorite is the gay porn gladiator. He's my favorite.
There is one?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
They hired one of the gladiators and they put him on the show, and it turns out that he had a little gay porn in his past.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, Titan is back from the original show, right?
Hell,
he's the leader of the professional American Gladiators. I saw him prancing around last night.
Listen, Goofus and Gallant. That show is great. The way, like, Pros versus Joes is great, or the way anytime you see a regular guy going up against insurmountable odds to try to overcome something, you just can't help but root.
But is it insurmountable odds to go up against Nitro?
The guy's massive. He's 6'5", he's 260 of solid muscle, and he's whacking you with a bungee stick, or whatever they call those things.
But what bothers me, Ralph, is they pretend as if they're world-class athletes. If they really were world-class athletes, they'd be in some other quote-unquote sport, except for Gladiator.
Listen, a lot of these guys are ex-pro ball players or college ball players and those kind of guys. They're big physical athletes. It's tough. I want to get one of you on that show and see how you fare. That's what I want to do.
We wouldn't fare well, but we wouldn't care, I don't think.
Well, then you're not a gladiator.
That's all right. You're right. Let's go to Juice in L.A.
What it do?
Hey, Juice.
Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, best show on earth coming back on.
What's that? Best show on earth
That's
coming back
flavor
on?
Flavor of Freaking Love 3.
Really?
Really?
Flavor Flav's doing it again?
Yep, it was announced yesterday on February 11th.
Oh, that's great.
Here's the thing about all these shows, whether it's The Taste of Love or that freaking Tila Tequila show or this one. If you have two shows and you can't find love, then you're unlovable. Then just go away. We're not going to try to find any more dates for you.
Are you insane? Flavor Flav.
It's Flavor Flav.
I'm out.
I think what Ralph is suggesting is don't pretend that it's a dating show where he's looking for true love at this point. Just say it's Flavor Flav and Crazy Black Chicks for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Well,
everyone knows that's what it is. All right, let's go to Johnny in Los Angeles, who has a theory on Dave the King of Mexico, who, if you weren't listening earlier or couldn't hear it, he passed a lie detector test saying that he had slept with Miss Double D, 2006 Yasmin.
Yeah.
Passed it. Johnny?
What'd it do, fellas?
What'd it do?
Well, check it out. If you're insane and you believe what you're saying, then of course the test is going to say that you know you're right. And this is the supporting facts that I got for you guys.
Okay.
Who in the world would think that fingerless gloves are attractive? Oh, come on, man. Okay, the guy's lying to himself. He believes it. So therefore, the test is good.
Only a madman.
Right. So you find that more compelling than the fact that he wasn't surprised by the fact that she came on to him. The fact that he likes fingerless gloves is more compelling to you.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely insane, man.
Psychotic.
I'll tell you how I know this. You know, I got a friend of mine who's one of the renowned PIs who does the testing.
Okay.
And he's the one on Dr. Phil and stuff all the time.
Oh, good.
So I know this, man. I figured you guys were going to have him this morning, but you know.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dave believes that he's psychotic. That's why he passed. He didn't have sex.
I think he needs medication.
I think we have to accept his word now. I mean, it's like the Duke rape case. Remember when they told those guys, take a DNA test. Yeah. It'll clear you if you... Mm-hmm. And then they took it and they were like, nope, we're still bringing you up on charges. We have to accept the lie detector results. I think we have to.
Well, that's kind of what we said we did.
The damning witness testimony of Yasmin herself. It's not like he's going around saying it, you know, by his own accord.
On his lonesome, you're right.
She's backing him up.
You're
and
right.
She would not make up a story like that because it makes her look so bad.
Right. Who would volunteer the story that they had sex with Dave unless they actually have sex with Dave?
Stop it. Both of you stop it. Come on. Good for him, I say. Hector and Downey, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Hector.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What's going on? You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, I saw the new American Gladiators,
and
I have to say, it's a big ripoff of that Ninja Warrior show, because I've seen the original American Gladiators, and it was nothing like that. The obstacles are a total ripoff of that Japanese show.
Ninja Warriors, what?
Yeah, Ninja Warrior on G4. It's an old Japanese show that they do every year, and it's basically the same deal. A bunch of guys come up, and they go through an obstacle course.
Okay, and they stole that, you're saying. It looks a lot like that show.
Yeah, I feel that's the only reason they recycled the show.
But it's got all the old gladiator events. It's got the thing at the end where they're shooting at each other with the targets. And
the
it's
Eliminator.
The Eliminator. And it's got those the stick fighting thing on the pylons. And it's got swinging from those rings up in the ceiling.
Yeah, the Eliminator is the exact thing that I was talking about. That barrel roll, that hand bike and stuff. That's all from Ninja Warrior.
It's all from the original American Gladiator, though. Also.
Yeah, the hand bike was on Gladiators back in the 80s.
Are we really having a conversation about American Gladiator in the 80s versus Ninja Warrior?
I dismiss this guy totally.
All right, you hold on.
Maybe Ninja Warrior started from the original Gladiators.
Let's go to George in Anaheim. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
What'd it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, George?
Going on?
Man, I'm calling because
you white devils are fighting my man, David King of Mexico. You know, Ms. Double December was all on that Mexican sack.
Oh, well, apparently she was, yes.
Hey, Michael Mike, you should be defending our man. Come on, you're right. Come on.
He's Mexican, but only half. So yeah. The half of him that's not Mexican doesn't believe it.
Come on.
Yeah. All right, George.
I think the best part, since we were so difficult to hear this morning on the radio, the best part of the lie detector intervention with Dave today was when Nick, who's running the lie detector, told us that, yes, Dave does buy Magnum condoms, B, or he doesn't need them. Yes. I thought that was the best 1-2 punch right there.
That was good.
Yes and B.
Yes and B.
I mean, it would
that's
be
how
like
screwed he, up Dave was.
It would be like he wants to be taller, so he's going to buy pants with 36-inch inseams because he wishes he could wear them, yeah, even though they don't fit. You know what I mean? That's what it kind of seemed like with the Magnum condoms.
Oh, so Dave wants us to take the word, you know, the lie detector's word for the fact that he did have sex, but it's lying when it comes to the Magnum thing.
Mm-hmm. In for a penny, that's right. In for a pound.
So you got to have exactly. It all. That's right.
All right. Well, I think it's a good idea to leave it there and thank all of our guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Mark Wahlberg, who is the host of Moment of Truth on Fox. That'll be on January 23rd. It's a Wednesday night at 9 o'clock on Fox. Also want to thank the polygrapher Nick Savastano for dropping in. You can go to his website at polygraphtest.com. Thanks to Jesse from Team Brittany for joining us. Too bad we're not going to be able to talk to you anymore since you're no longer crazy. And thanks to D.L. Hewley for joining us. He is the host of the 13th Annual Critics' Choice Awards that airs tonight at 9 o'clock on VH1. Apparently, you don't cross a picket line to be on this show, Ralph, because it's a basic cable show. So
see?
That's how they're getting around that, and that's why all the stars will be there tonight.
The beauty of non-union work. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Robin Big in the studio.
Yes!
Robin Big. I don't know if you watch that show on MTV, but...
Can we get Big in the studio?
Hopefully.
Okay.
I don't know that these chairs, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Put a couple together.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys watched that show on MTV, but when they got the mini horse and it started eating their furniture, that was good times. Also tomorrow, people who read obituaries regularly.
Hey, wait a minute.
Should
I
do
that.
Be put down?
We
I
found out this morning...
What are you talking about?
...that Bean reads the obituaries regularly.
That's too
much
time.
It is often the most interesting part of the newspaper.
The homosexual is right.
Madness.
So we're going to take some calls from you if that also, you know, explains what you do.
Dexter.
Yeah. And we have our Breakfast with Foo Fighters tickets tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the only place you can get them. We're doing the breakfast 1 week from today, Monday, the 14th, which is also Dave Grohl's birthday, by the way.
Yeah.
And we're going to have our breakfast next Monday. If you want to win the tickets, you can join us tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
Actually, no, this just in, Cat Corbett is going to be coming up next, Rodney, with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including some Beastie Boys, also Linkin Park, Incubus, Radiohead, and a new one from Serj Tankian. Straight ahead, right after this on K-Rock.